This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it.
Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks.
Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone.
Boy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello, everybody. I'm Steve Tasker, filling in for John Murphy, who is on assignment in New York City, MetLife Stadium. I'm along with Donald Jones. We're hosting the show today while John is on assignment, going to do the game tonight. The Buffalo Bills in MetLife Stadium against the New York Jets, Thursday night football. Donald Jones and I are going to get you started. We're also going to have visits from Murph on and off throughout the show. He's going to be talking with Jim Nance a little bit. We've got Mark Kelso coming on. Rich Eisen is from the NFL Network, and the studio show is going to come on with us. Of course, Chris Brown is going to make a visit as well. So we've got a lot of things lined up for you today. It's game day. The Sabres play tonight. They have a 10 o'clock puck drop, but the Buffalo Bills start, and their kickoff is at about 8:10. P.M. Eastern time, right?
What time is the Sabres?
Sabres are like 10. It's at West Coast. They're out in Arizona, yeah.
The fans here are going to have a long night.
8:45 with the Bills. 8:25, I've been told, with the Bills.
Long night. You're going to watch the Bills game and then go straight into the
Sabres. Yeah, it should work out. If the Bills got a nice halftime lead, you know, you'll be able to switch right over and catch maybe the puck drop for the opening period, watch the first period part of it, you know, through halftime, and then
go back and forth type of thing?
Checking on the Bills game.
Watch the Bills and keep checking in on the Sabres game.
Yeah, because the Sabres game will go past the Bills. Yeah, the Sabres game won't finish up until midnight or so. The Bills will be done an hour before that, so you can catch both those games. I talked to the instigators. I was on a little while ago. They should coincide those schedules. They should have the Sabres playing in New York last
That'd
night
be cool.
or tomorrow night on a Friday. Then have then people go in for the long weekend, stay in the city, catch both games.
That'd be fun.
It would be. I'd love to do that.
Drink
I think people would love it. Later on, we'll put that on a Twitter poll. Donald Jones along with Steve Tasker, John Murphy on the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock talking to a lot of people, Jim Nance, Mark Kelso, Rich Eisen. We're going to be talking about the game. And you and I, we should start it off, I mean, because we've been talking off the air about what we expect this game to look like. And, you know, does Kelvin – what do you think? Is Kelvin Benjamin going to play?
That's the biggest question, I think.
I can't wait to find that out.
I can't either. Yeah, I think a lot of people – I've gotten a lot of tweets on, like, what's going on? Is Kelvin Benjamin going to play? I rode in the security guard at the gate. Was like, hey, man, is Kelvin Benjamin going to play? I'm like,
listen, we haven't had so many people talking about stuff like this for 20 years. I mean, people want to know what's going on. And I told you, here's what I do. Yeah, he plays. Mm-hmm. First play of the game, he's out there by himself. Drop back. Let's see what you got.
Go, baby.
Jets, you think he's going to play? Watch him play right here.
And tell Tyrod in his huddle. In his helmet. Tyrod, throw it to Kelvin.
He's open.
He's open. Just throw it to him. Even
that's
if
what
you're
I
throwing
do.
It his way.
Because I'll tell you what, the Jets would know then you're going to use him. Right?
You're going to use him. Right, exactly. And everybody, they have to back off at that point.
Do you take the snap, have Tyrod take the snap, hard play action to Shady.
Yeah.
And then drop back and top.
What? Bills fans will light up when Tyrod. First of all, if he walks out there in the huddle, it's like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. And then
The hair on the back of your neck will stand up if he walks out there in the huddle. I think it's awesome. Because we're kind of still in that vibe of being players. Mm-hmm. You start talking about like this, I'm like jumping up and down.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, I'd be standing on the sidelines, but I'd be jumping up and down, saying, come on, man, throw it to him. I just think it's an exciting moment. You get that Thursday night standalone game. Bills are going to be all in white. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
They even got white face masks.
Oh, yeah.
They usually have the gray face mask, but they change
pull
it to
out
white.
All the stops.
But, yeah, you pull out all
the – some of the guys who were here, there aren't that many left, like 20 guys that were there on the team last year when they had the Thursday night game here against New York where they stunk.
Yes, they were.
They stunk.
They were bad. They lost both games to the Jets last
year.
They
stunk last year.
They need to return the favor and just sweep the Jets this year.
They need to go in there and just, with a chip.
Yeah.
Somebody
play
needs to
like
remind
they did
the
last
guys
week.
How bad they looked last year in that Thursday night game here in Buffalo.
Yeah, and
the Jets
play like they
good
did last week.
Brett Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean they were just going up top. It was a horrible game by Stephon Gilmore and Ronald Darby. They were just going up top.
So the Jets are +3 mm-hmm. underdogs. Mm-hmm. I think what do you expect to have? How do you expect this to play? Kelvin Benjamin aside, I mean the Bills are coming in with a number one turnover ratio in the league, And that's one of those statistics. You really can't, like, just chalk it up. So we run the ball. We're going to be able to run the ball. But in turnovers, it's like, I don't know. Turnovers are kind of a by-chance thing that you can't really stack up in your column all the time.
Murph and I were trying to figure out, can you sustain having three, four turnovers a game and not turning the ball over at all? I don't know if you can sustain that throughout an entire season.
Well, you can certainly sustain not turning it over.
Right, but not creating three and four. And the coaches, a couple of the players have said this week, you know, turnovers come in bunches, you know, and for a defense. There comes a point where you won't be getting those turnovers. And so when that point does come, it's like, can your offense score points? Your defense just stop teams, you know? Yeah. Right now they're creating those turnovers, but they're not even scoring touchdowns off of those turnovers. And that's the crazy thing to me. This team hasn't consistently scored touchdowns off the turnovers, but they've done a good job of at least getting 3 points and obviously winning games. But there will come a point where you're not getting turnovers, so now what? Can your offense then just drive down the field and score consistently? That's something we haven't seen yet out of this offense.
I'm Steve Tasker. He's Donald Jones. We're filling in for John Murphy. He's in MetLife Stadium. We're going to be hearing from him throughout the day. We'll hear from him maybe to begin with, right about the bottom of the hour here. We're also going to have Mark Kelso. Rich Eisen's going to be on. We're talking about the Bills-Jets game tonight. We're also probably won't take any calls about Sabres because the Instigators just got off the air. I was actually on with them. But the Sabres play tonight, too. And we're obviously big fans of those guys as well. But this is a big night in sports. This is one of those one Buffalo nights where both teams are playing. And
the sports bars, it's nice. The sports bars will be busy tonight.
A lot of wings going out the door in a lot of different cities, not just Buffalo tonight.
I'm telling you, right? a lot of wings. Yeah, because you got those Bills Backers bars like all over the place.
Man. They are everywhere.
Every city, every major city. Yeah. When I wrote my book, I was actually doing book signings in the Bills Backers bars all around the country.
Cool. You can find them.
Yeah.
They're easy to find.
Every city.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Well, that's good stuff. All right. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock talking about the Bills. And you know, I got to tell you, one of the things that got me about this whole Kelvin Benjamin trade and about the Bills and making these moves, we were laughing. 8 weeks ago, the Bills were getting accused of tanking.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets have never stepped away from that. They're still getting accused of it, but now they're playing because the players in the locker room, like we've seen so many times, where you can't tell the team and the players and the coaches that this season's a wash because we want the number one pick of the draft. They don't listen to it because you have to invest so much physically into the game. You're not going to go out there and work hard and maybe sacrifice an injury for a team that's not on board with you. So that's why the Jets have overachieved through these first 5 weeks. They're they're 2-3 now, or
three and four. Yeah,
and so I think you got to tip your hat to those guys. Todd Bowles was a guy who a lot of people said he's not going to survive this rebuild. I don't know. He might have now. He might be in the position now where he did.
I was listening to Kim Jones and the National Reporters NFL Network this morning. And she was reporting from MetLife Stadium, and she was saying, you know, this is one of those games where you need to win that. You end up, 4-4 instead of a 3-5. It sounds a lot better. And, you know, you end up losing this one and you go 3-5, you really start to get, as Josh McCown has been playing okay for this team. But if you end up 3-5 and you know, that's when the fans there will start to maybe call for one of those backup quarterbacks, you know. Let's see one of the young guys. Like, the season is over. Let's see one of the young guys so we can figure out if one of these guys is the quarterback or if we need to take a quarterback in the first round.
What it comes down to is they got to get a head start on next year.
Yeah.
And, man, you know what it's like.
It's tough to come to work
every
day.
It's really hard to come to work knowing they don't care if you win this week. They want to find out if some jamoke can play.
Yeah,
And the guys in the locker room, he ain't as good as this guy. And that's you talk about players don't care who plays as long as the best guy at every position is on the field.
Right.
They don't care if Christian Hackenberg or any of those – Paxton Lynch, any of those guys at New York, if they feel like one of those guys might give them a better chance to win, they think that change should be made today.
Right.
Forget about, making a phone call. Just make the change. Because I'm going out there busting a gut. give me the best chance to win. That's why they don't want to hear any of this stuff about tanking. That's why – there's no real player controversy in locker rooms about who plays and who doesn't unless they don't think the best guy's playing. If you're going to start the young guy, that sends a message.
That sends a message.
But sometimes that message is it's about time.
Right.
This kid is playing better in practice than our guy. Our guy's not right. He's got hurt or whatever the reason is. that you change, make that change, and the players are all behind it because they just want to win, and they can see every day in practice who the best guy is.
You definitely – at the quarterback position, you can see who the best guy is. And you if Josh McCown wasn't playing well, everybody on that team, especially if they truly, truly have a losing record – I mean, they won three straight. They lost like four straight or something right. like that.
They lost three straight. They were 3-1.
They lost, yeah.
Now they've lost three straight.
Right, yeah. Now they lost three straight. So – you know, when you're looking at the quarterback position, everybody's like, man, if he wasn't playing well, they'd be like, why is he still playing?
Right.
You know, everybody on that team just talking amongst each other. Why is he still playing? Like, why won't they?
That's the thing. Inside the locker room, you know the reasons you lose. You know the reasons you're playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And the only corrections that need to be made are the ones that address those issues. And if you start doing stuff off of that, away from that, you got a real problem in your locker room, and it happens almost overnight, right? I mean, the guys snap.
Right. It's guys do snap overnight. It's like, yo, what is going on here?
Whoa, they're like, whoa. And then, you know, texts start going out. You start making phone calls. Hey, did you hear about that? What is he doing? What do you think? And that, right. I agree with you. That's wrong. That ain't right. He should be playing. That happens, and that spreads.
Yeah.
And that spreads faster than the common cold, man. That goes fast. That's then, like the bubonic plague, man. You sneeze, and everybody gets it. Everybody gets it, man. It really is. It
then you
spreads
start
fast.
To sometimes see – you know, at your position, you'll see a young guy start to get some more playing time. And in your mind, you're like, wait a second. You know, like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You're already making moves at the quarterback position, but now you want to rotate us? Why are we rotating?
Yep.
You know, are you telling me
if
I'm not going to be here?
You can't see the reason for it.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
And sometimes you see it, say, yeah, he's playing good. All right. Okay. You can, you know, give him a couple of plays. I see it. You know, even if it is to your detriment.
Right.
You kind of think,
you can see it.
You
can at that point. That's when you start to see the writing on the wall, and they're like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can start to see they want this kid to play. They drafted him in the second round. They're trying to figure out what he can do. He's going to be here. Maybe I won't be here next year. You know, and
all
so
that,
you start to talk to your agent. And
that's
there's
right.
a lot you got to come into work every day and work hard.
It's exhausting.
But you don't even know if you're going to be there next year.
It's exhausting too because you start doing it. The Jets have been dealing with this topic since training camp. Since before the season started, since, you know, Josh McCown was made their starting quarterback, knowing he's 38 years old, and they let loose all of those players, and you know the Jets were doing what the people were accusing the Bills of doing. You know,
tanking. Yeah.
Sammy's gone, Darby's gone, Gilmore they let go, and now they traded they let go Marcel. I mean, all this now Marcel's later in the process, so it's kind of a separate issue. But all that stuff happened in the middle, and then people are going, okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of reasons. One, either they're tanking to get a quarterback, or they just don't want those guys on the team because somebody else drafted them, which is crazy talk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy talk.
And so they're 3-5 right now. So they lose another one. You're talking about 3-6.
Yeah, but I think we're going to go to Murph now. Is Murph going to jump on with us? Murph is at MetLife or is in New York ready for the game tonight. He's going to call a game between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. He's actually in New Jersey, I was just told. And I'm getting corrected. Steve Tasch along with Donald Jones. We're holding the fort down here in Orchard Park. John Murphy, are you there? Are you going to join us here on the John Murphy Show?
I am here, yes. I am in New Jersey, Jersey City, beautiful downtown Jersey City. And we're about, 8-10 miles away from MetLife Stadium. We'll head over there later this afternoon. Looking forward to it. It's a beautiful day here. It's sunny, the temperature in the 60s, and tonight it's going to be about 58 degrees and no chance of rain. We're looking forward to that.
Murph, nobody cares about that.
Right.
I want to know if Kelvin Benjamin's going to play. Is he going to play or not?
I don't know. I've asked that question of several people, several of whom should know, and nobody quite knows. I think, you know, if I were a betting man, I would bet against it for a couple of reasons. I think they feel like it would almost be unfair to him, you know, to roll in here Tuesday night, to have just that brief walkthrough on Wednesday. You know, he's still working through the terminology. Obviously, they've got a lot different terminology on this offense than what they were doing down in Carolina. It's kind of similar to where they were with Deontay Thompson a couple of weeks ago, you recall, when they signed him, and he had late-night sessions with the receivers coach Phil McGagan. I just saw Coach McGagan here in the hotel, and looked like he was hurrying off to a meeting somewhere, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was hurrying off to a meeting with Kelvin Benjamin. So,
well, if he's
trying to get him
off,
up and ready to play.
If he's hurrying off to a meeting, it means they got a deadline, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they'll take a look at it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Kelvin's at least on the field, you know, working out a little bit, you know, an hour or two before pregame. I don't know if he's going to play.
I've asked the question
several different ways to several different people and can't quite get a straight answer.
My thought is, and Donald and I have been talking about this, and we talked about it off the air, and now a few minutes on the air, both he and I said, listen, on the first play of the game, you put him out there and you send him. And you send the Jets a message that he's going to be a factor, that we're going to do it. You hard play action to Shady McCoy up into the gut, and then you throw it over the top to him and see what they've got. And it's one way to set a tone that will change their perspective right from the get-go. I mean, I don't know what we're going to talk to Mark Kelso later in the show, too. I'd like to be interested to hear a defensive back's take on that.
Yeah, Mark, we'll talk with him about that when he joins us later in the show. And I think you make a good point there. I think the thing they don't want to do is to put Kelvin Benjamin in a situation where he's not quite sure of which route to run or which adjustment to make. I mean, look, this is a team that doesn't turn it over. The nightmare scenario is that Benjamin doesn't run the right route, doesn't get the right call, doesn't make the right adjustment, and all of a sudden Tyrod's thrown to the guys in green tonight. They that doesn't happen to the Bills. They don't throw interceptions. They certainly don't want to start that in tonight's game. But you can fix that if you do as you say, you know, just send him down the sideline, fly down the sideline, see what you get. He's not a speed guy, clearly. I don't know if he'll beat anyone deep, but just throw him down there and see what you can do. I'd sign on for that. I would.
I think I have to sign on. Look, this is what you do with Kelvin Benjamin. You put him in the huddle and you say, look, everybody else, these are your routes. Kelvin, you got to go. And that's all you got to tell him. Then there's no confusion there. Kelvin, look, go to Kelvin Benjamin. It's like the Pop Warner routes, right? Like when my son has a play in the huddle, it's like halfback go or go to Kion. Like that's kind of how they call their plays. That's how they should call this play to Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you this, though, fellas.
Go ahead.
What's the rush?
You got to get a win. That's the rush. I mean, you don't want to drop a game to the New York Jets, a team you've already beat once. Plus, you're on a short week turnaround. You got 10 or 12 days after this to acclimate him, and you know, why not get a handful of plays out of him? I'm not saying he has to be in there for 50% of the snaps or 100% of the snaps offensively, but certainly they could give him a half a dozen plays on a menu where he could run maybe three different routes, not even five. Yeah. No, run him three different routes.
Yeah.
I still think it's a way to get him acclimated, get him started. I think this is a hugely important game. I think it's a game that the Bills can use as an extra bye week after it's over. I think they're getting healthier. And I was going to ask you about that. How do they seem to be taking – have you gotten any vibe about how the short week and the short turnaround has gone and how they've handled it?
Yeah, I think they've handled it best they can, you know, and that'll be one of those things where you don't really see the effects until they're out there on the field and maybe even into the second half when guys wear down a little bit. You know, surprisingly, and I think it's pretty interesting, they may be getting healthier going into this game. Jordan Poyer is questionable, 50%, and the indications I'm getting is that he is not just questionable, but is probably going to be ready to go, ready to start in this game. That's a major addition to the defense. Same can be said about Ramon Humber, who's been out since injuring his thumb back on October 1st in Atlanta. Looks like he could be ready to go. They're both officially questionable, but they could be ready to go today, and that's two healthy starters on defense that could be back in the lineup today. So even with the the short turnaround and the bye week, if they put those two pieces back on their defense, I think that's a pretty good addition.
You know, Murph, I think a lot of people want to know because Matt Milano's he's had some big plays in the last couple of games. If Humber is back out there and ready to go, does he start the game? Do you start Milano? Do they get rotate 50-50? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if he's healthy, I think they would start Humber. In fact, Coach McDermott has said that over the last week or so. And I think they fully appreciate what Milano's done. But, I think you're right about this too, Donald. There are situations where Milano might be, on the field. First, to give, Humber a break in his first game back in a month. But secondly, maybe passing situations. You know, think of Milano's, the plays that he's made, a lot of it's been dropping into coverage. And he's a former safety at Boston College. I think on passing downs, he might get mixed in there a little bit more. They know he can play a little bit. They know he can handle himself out there. Donald, you and I have talked on the show over the last week or two how with Matt Milano going right back to October 1st, his first real action of his NFL career, virtually every week he's got a little bit better. And I think they like that, you know, upward trend that they see from Matt Milano, and they probably want to keep that going. And now, if Humber's back, they would have the luxury of sprinkling him in there, getting him plays, and as I said, obvious passing downs.
We're with John Murphy on the John Murphy Show. John is in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium waiting for the Bills-Jets matchup. I am Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones here in Orchard Park, and we're about to ask John Murphy, who's got the call play-by-play for the Bills game tonight on radio, here, give us a couple of topic, some keys to the game as you see it. What do you think is this game going to boil down to, and what are the important points you got to want to bring to light?
Yeah, I mean, and believe me, I don't think it's going to be an easy night for the Bills. I mean, The Jets are motivated. You guys were talking about that, and they have a lot to play for. But, I mean, the number one key for me is the Bills kind of keep doing what they're doing, and that's taking the ball away. They got to keep the takeaways coming if they can. Then 15 takeaways over the last five games. You know, do the math. That's three per game. And they've only turned it over three times in those five games. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. They are number one in the NFL in the turnover ratio, plus 14. They're 4-1 in those last five games when they've got all those takeaways. If they can keep that going, and I don't think it's an accident either. It's not, there are some accidental takeaways, you know, some tip passes and some of the balls that have gone their way. But it's a mentality and the way they play. And I think of Milano, actually, two plays, you know, the fumble recovery he had for a touchdown last week when, that ball was knocked out by Leonard Johnson. That wasn't an accident. And Milano himself raked the ball out on a kick return. So that's not accident. That's effort and what they do and what they how they approach defense. So that would be my first key would be to keep the takeaways coming. My second key would be, you know, do what they do on offense, and that's running the ball. And I think we've seen a remarkable transformation in how they run the ball over the last couple of weeks. And it all goes back to the bye week, and they're not shy about admitting it. The dialogue they had that started just before the bye and went through the bye week when the coaching staff took input from players and what do you like to do, you know, incognito, Wood, all you guys up front, what do you guys like to do? What are you comfortable in? Okay, let's mesh that with what we want to do in the zone blocking schemes, and you guys want to be more power, and okay, let's put together a plan. And the plan has worked for the last two games. And I think, you know, Shady McCoy ran for, 110 yards against the Jets back in week one. I see no reason why he shouldn't go over the 100-yard mark again in this game. You know, it's the same Jets team, the same good defensive front. But I think, the way they're blocking and running up front, I think that would be a key for the Bills. They're just essentially doing what they do on offense, and that's running the ball. And the third thing, you know, they've talked a lot. I just get the sense that they have weathered the storm when it comes to injuries, and we've talked a couple of weeks now about next man up. Well, now the next men up are the starters coming back, and I mentioned them, you know, Poyer and Humber, questionable for this game. Most likely they're both going to see some action in this game. So all of a sudden the next men up are starting caliber players on what's been a pretty good defense. And to get those players back and that infusion of talent returning to the depth chart on the defensive side of the ball, I think that will go a long way towards bringing the Bills a victory tonight.
Murph, one of your keys to the game is continuing the run game success. Now, they obviously had a lot of success against this team in week one. They kind of went on a skid after week one, but they did have success against the Jets in week one. Mohammed Wilkerson has been kind of questionable all week. Have you heard anything about him playing?
No, just questionable. I'm guessing he'll probably go, you know. I actually this morning double-checked the Jets injury report, and I think the sense is that he'll probably be able to go. And, you know, you wonder how effective he'll be. He is a force when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. I happen to like Leonard Williams a lot on the other side, too, and I think he has become maybe the Jets' best defensive lineman. They're formidable up front. And we're going to talk with Mark Kelso a little bit later on in the show here today here in Jersey about the young linebacker Darren Lee, their first-round pick a year ago, who I think is coming into his own, too, as far as a playmaker and a good against the run. He's a little bit undersized, but very strong against the pass. So it's that front seven for the Jets that is a challenge. The Bills answered that challenge back 8 weeks ago, and I think they'll be able to do that again, but we're going to have to find out.
I think one of the key things that happened during the bye week is that they did reevaluate their running game and the philosophy, and they went down to the offensive lineman and talked to him, and, man, it really seems to have made a difference. And I think I got to tell you, I got to tip my hat to Rick Dennison and Sean McDermott for having the wherewithal to say, wait a minute, what can we do better? Getting the input from the players, Trusting the players to have the best for the team at heart and making some changes. And there's no question they're running the football better after that bye week. And everybody says they did change a few things that were significant enough to make that kind of difference. I think you got to tip your hat to Rick Dennison and that offensive staff for doing that.
I agree 100%, Stephen. It's I don't like trashing the previous regime, and Rex had his pluses and minuses, but that kind of dialogue with players, that sort of input they might take from players, didn't really take place the last couple of years under the previous coaching staff, and especially on the defensive side of the ball when they had their scheme. They had their, Ryan defense, and that's what they were going to play. And they were trying to, in many respects, shove square pegs into round holes, and they really didn't brook much discussion about you're comfortable, you're not comfortable. Here's our plan. We're going to do it. In this case, with this coaching staff, as you point out, I think very astutely, Rick Dennison said, okay, let's talk. Let's see what you guys want to do. Let's see how we can fold it into what I want to do. And I think they've sort of hit that sweet spot in the last 2 weeks with their running game.
Murph, last question I have for you. How's New Jersey treating you? My
Jersey's
home
fine.
State.
How's
no
the hotel?
I mean,
travel's all about the hotel, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you got to spend the whole day kind of hanging around waiting for a night game. Yeah, it's a great hotel. It's a great part of Jersey City. Now, I don't know, you're from where? Elizabeth, New Jersey?
No. I'm from Plainfield, but I've been to that hotel. Jersey City, where you are, they've done a lot to that area and to upgrade it.
Yeah. I was here 15, 20 years ago doing Canisius basketball at St. Peter's in Jersey City, and it's only a couple of blocks from here, and it was rough. It was a really rough area. The whole town looked rough. But we're in the Newport part of Jersey City now. We're right next to the river. That would be the Hudson right over here, over my right shoulder. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful here. And it's a nice sunny day, and people are out walking around. It's nice. This is a nice part. Most of Jersey is nice. I'm a big fan of New Jersey. There's a reason why they call it the Garden State. Right, Donald?
There is a reason why they call it the Garden State. And there's a reason why so much talent comes out of that state, Murph. I just need to let you know that.
All right. We're going to take a break. All right. We're just getting...
Not much broadcast talent, but a lot of football talent.
All right, John, thanks. So it's Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones right here on the in Orchard Park for the John Murphy Show. John Murphy is joining us from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. This is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're going to come back. John Murphy did have a conversation yesterday with Jim Nance, who's got the television play-by-play tonight. We'll get a chance to talk with my colleague from CBS right after this. You're listening to John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. We are in Orchard Park. John Murphy's joining us off and on throughout the afternoon from New Jersey, where tonight the Bills take on the New York Jets and
Garden State.
The Garden State. You're hitting it up for your home state.
I'm just
saying,
you got to represent where you're from.
I guess you do. We got a lot of stuff going on today. We got this. The Bills game is tonight. The Sabres game is tonight. The Kelvin Benjamin trade for Buffalo is still on the table. Yeah. The Jets are banged up coming into this game. The Bills are getting healthier coming into this game. The Bills are favored by 3 points, which on the road is like a coin flip. Right? I mean, they always give the home team 3 points. So this is a coin flip game. You got to think the Jets really would love to make a statement here about how much they've improved. Todd Bowles wants this game bad. The Bills are trying to hang on to a 5-2 and they're trying to keep on
scratch
keeping
and
on.
Claw, right? Yeah, keep on and keeping on. And like we were just talking about, this game is important for the Jets. They're on a 3-game losing streak, so they're trying to just do anything to win a game.
They're desperate.
They're desperate. It's a divisional opponent in the Jets stadium, and so this is going to be a tough game. I don't care what you think about how good or bad the Jets might be. It's always a tough game when you play games in your division. But then next week's game is a big – like next week you have the Saints coming into town. They're hot.
Yeah, you don't get a week off.
Right, you don't get a week off. So this game you need to make sure that you win so you have just that momentum going into next week. This is a big game, in my opinion.
Yeah, Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones, and we are going to be joined right now by John Murphy, who had a chance to catch up with a good friend of mine, Jim Nance, who's got the call on Thursday Night Football tonight with Tony Romo in the booth. John Murphy sitting down with Jim Nance in New Jersey. Let's go see what they have to say right now.
All right, fellas, thanks. We are in New Jersey. The Bills getting set to play the New York Jets, and I'm joined by the man from the NFL on CBS, 5-time National Sportscaster of the Year, the winner of the Pete Rozelle Award for radio, television, and football a couple of years ago at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you got the Bills and the Jets coming up tonight here in the Meadowlands of New Jersey. I got to tell you, sitting here this close to you, I feel like I'm in the butler cabin. Will you put a green jacket on?
Are you ready
shoulder?
For the green jacket? I think it's that time, John.
Nobody's
I really do.
Nobody's ever asked
a
me
tradition
that
unlike any other.
Thanks for saying
yeah.
that. Hey, you got the Bills and the Jets, and it's
I'm excited.
What's the third straight year these two have played?
I know
time?
It. I remember, of course, the one up in Buffalo that was the second week of the season.
Yeah.
And I remember the Bills struck early on a deep pass to Goodwin. It was like a 90-yarder, 85-yarder. And that was Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Jets,
right,
and Forte's debut with them. And they had a big hot hand, too. But it was a an exciting night that night. I know it didn't go the way that the Bills wanted it to. But, yeah, we're kind of accustomed to getting this matchup.
This matchup this week, you've got the Bills coming in at 5-2. Some people think they're a surprise. Do you consider them a surprise?
You know, I thought they were going to be better. I think that if anybody was going to forecast they'd be 5-2 at this point, I would be surprised. But, you know, if they were 3-4, 4-3 about this time and trying to figure out who they are with a new coach, it wouldn't have surprised me. But 5-2 does. I mean, 5-2, and especially, John, the way that they're 5-2. I mean, they're playing great football, ball-hawking defense, just tenacious, excited about the things that they've done there. I mean, I've got a lot of friends who are Bills fans, so I hear about them all year long. And now to see what they've stockpiled with the draft picks, the 2-1s, the 2-2s, and Kelvin Benjamin, of course, arriving there. I mean, it's man, we're going to be, as the AFC Network, you know, at CBS, we're probably going to be spending a lot of time in Buffalo in the years to come. I'm excited about that.
Any early impressions of first-year head coach Sean McDermott?
He's an impressive guy. I've known him, of course, from covering the games back even when he was at Philadelphia under Jimmy Johnson there, the famed late defensive coordinator for the Eagles, and of course worked with him when he was at Carolina and was the D coordinator there under Ron Rivera and D coordinator for that team that played in Super Bowl 50. So he's a great leader, and when he says things, you can see how the team buys what he's selling.
Mm-hmm.
And he's believable. There's something about some people walk into a room, they exude authenticity, genuineness, integrity. He's got it. We all said after our Bills meetings today that it's pretty obvious talking to everyone else that came into the room that he's got that team right now buying into to his vision of football. He's just getting started.
Jim, we've got Tyrod Taylor 2.5 seasons into his Bills tenure now. We wonder sometimes if there's a ceiling for him. Is he there? Is he near it? What do you think?
I mean, it's probably a question better suited for Tony Romo, you know, my broadcast partner. But everything I see about the way he plays and his leadership, by the way, as one of the coaches told me yesterday in our production meeting, he said, "Boy, he that team would follow him wherever he wants to lead them. They would follow him to all ends of the earth. They believe in him." And you know, you can't quantify how important that is. Is he as dynamic a passer as Aaron Rodgers? No, but you know who is. You know, all I know is the numbers are good. The numbers are really good. 45 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That touchdown to pick interception is one of the top in the league since he became the quarterback in Buffalo, and it works. You know, maybe this is the style that's a play. You know, with a run option quarterback. You know, given the weather elements that are about to hit us here the second half of the season, you know, maybe this is, again, surrounded with a great defense and some playmakers now on the outside. And, of course, McCoy, one of the best, one of the most durable, one of the most dependable guys in the league. Maybe this is the way it all fits together. I'm not selling him short, ever.
A big trade just a couple of days ago for Kelvin Benjamin. May not see him in this game, but what do you think he brings down the road for the Bills?
Oh, I just think I've seen, again, many of his games, the Panthers games, including one about 3 weeks ago on a Thursday night game against Philadelphia, and I think he caught 9 or 10 balls in that game. The thing he gives you, Tyron's not the biggest, tallest quarterback in the league. You know, there's some guys now that look like they're built like linebackers.
We're playing
quarterback. You know, they're just – It's evolved that way, that position. Even when Jim Kelly was playing, he's a big, thick guy, you know. Peyton Manning, on and on, Dan Marino. But his ability, when he gets a matchup and you look at him in the red zone and you have to just throw it in that direction, he's going to beat that cornerback on almost every occasion. Put it up high enough, I mean, 6'5". He's got a great feel for got a great set of hands, got a great feel for what he has to do to get separation, box out his defender. I think that's just an extraordinary pickup for them. In fact, I'm honestly shocked they were able to get him for the price they paid.
Yeah. The Benjamin trade, part of an unusually large number of trades made at the deadline.
Yeah.
And, of course, in Buffalo, we always follow the Patriots, what they're up to. What do you think the thinking is to trade away Garoppolo? Do we assume that Brady plays forever?
Yeah, well, it sure sounds like that they believe he's going to play till, you know, maybe 44, 45 years old, as Tom has talked about. But, you know, they were in a pinch, and even Coach Belichick admitted that. He said, we were running out of options. You know, with this contract situation and how much you're going to pay a backup quarterback, and he's got a phenomenal arm. He's another one of those guys, big guy that plays the position. My take on this whole thing, though, was that the 49ers stole him. I mean, for a second-round pick, granted, it's going to be one of the first picks of the second round. It'll be in the first three or four or five picks, most likely, of the second round. So it's almost like a low-end number one. But there was talk in the offseason about maybe the Cleveland Browns offering two number ones for Garoppolo. So I thought the price for one second-round pick seemed pretty cheap. And I think the 49ers came away with a huge win there. It's just a huge win. And they, like the Bills and the Browns, those three teams, if you look at the first two rounds of the draft in 2018, I mean, they've got so many between those three squads, 49ers, Browns, Bills. You guys have four. You have two and two in the first and second round.
Yep.
You know, the Browns are somewhere in that neighborhood, and so too are the 49ers. I mean, all three of them are loading up. It's interesting, though, like you talk with the Jets, and everybody knows they're going to be out looking for a quarterback next year. Well, that's it. They knew that they were going to be negotiating or draft positioning against the 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. And now one of the teams they had to concern themselves with, the 49ers, they've already taken their guy. So, like, around New York, they're looking at it like, hey, okay, now Kirk Cousins comes into play. We thought Kirk was going to go in the offseason and follow Shanahan there. Maybe we get one of those kids like Darnold out of USC or Rosen out of UCLA or Allen out of Wyoming. So their competition got narrowed a little bit. It had a trickle-down effect, a chain reaction to a lot of teams, including the Jets that are in this game later tonight.
Hey, Jim, we can't let you go without asking about your broadcast partner tonight and throughout the season, Tony Romo, people love him.
No one does more than I do. You know, he's a fantastic guy, first off.
Yeah.
So we're having so much fun just traveling the circuit together. Of course, we've been doing Thursdays and Sundays. So this marks our last Thursday night football game of the season. So it's been busy. The point of it is that since the season started, we've been most weeks doing two games a week. And back before that, we were doing practice games dating back to May. Spent a lot of time together. I went to Dallas a couple of times, New York a couple of times. He came to my home in California. We did practice games in Canton, Ohio, Charlotte, and Oakland. We went to Los Angeles to hang out together and work on all this, and it's been fun. But I got to tell you, he's the natural. He's worked really hard, but he's as you can tell, he's got a great feel for this. And I always felt that whenever it was going to be time for him to quit playing and get into the broadcast business, I always thought he was going to be great at this. And you know, I think when it's all said and done, he's going to have a very long, hugely successful career.
You guys are going to have a great broadcast tonight. We appreciate
it. I look forward to getting to Buffalo. You know, the schedule kind of, it's always kind of fluid, as they say.
Yeah.
So we don't know, like, 3 weeks out where we're going. But I think there's a strong chance our crew, our number one game on the weekend of December 3rd, would be New England at Buffalo. It's not official, but I'm just projecting.
Yeah.
And that would be a fun place to be in Orchard Park for that game. Maybe for first place in the division on the line. That middle sequence, the Bills-Patriots, they're not far apart. You know, look at the records. Look at the effort of this team right now. And, you know, maybe New England's starting to heat up and kind of find out who they are. And they've had a couple of games that could have gone either way. But I think it's going to be a fabulous race to the finish between these two, and I think we're going to maybe see both sides of that Buffalo New England matchup.
I hope you're right. We look forward to having you up there.
Thank you so
much, Jim.
All the very best.
Jim Nance from the NFL on CBS. We'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Murph. I appreciate that. That was a nice interview. And Jim Nance, a good friend of mine, I worked with him on the sidelines a couple of Super Bowls, and even the one Super Bowl 47 when the lights went out and down in New Orleans. And
yeah,
he's one of the all-time great guys. He is the same off the air as he is on the air. He's just, and the best broadcasters are. I mean, they are who they are. And
yeah,
he's great. And it was nice to see Murph talk to him. And he, you know, like a lot of people, surprisingly, for some people here in Buffalo who've never experienced it, a lot of people on the national level really like this team because they see a different vibe coming out of the locker room.
Yeah, I think a couple of things that he said there. I think a lot of people have bought into Coach McDermott and what he's selling, including the team, mm-hmm. which you can see. I think a lot of people on the national level, maybe more on the national level than even here in Buffalo, have bought into Tyrod Taylor and his playing style and how he gets it done on the field. And hopefully he can change that. You know, he can bring some more people into the people that like him onto his corner. And then I think that a lot of people are starting to recognize this team is a good team. And when you watch this team on film, you can see it on film. Like, if you're someone who watches film and truly, truly watches film, you can see the talent out there on the film. You can see that these guys are playing together. And if you've played the game like you and I have, right. you know how important that is to play for one another and to be a family, to truly be a family and trust your boys next to you, because there are so many talented, talented teams out there. You look at the Giants this year. I mean, they got hurt with a lot of injuries, but even before their injuries, they weren't playing good, you know, and they brought in all of this talent. The Patriots, they're not playing like the Patriots that we normally mm-hmm. have seen. They brought in all of this talent. When you come together as a team, it means something, and it shows out there on the field.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. We're going to take a break. This is John Murphy Show. I'm Steve Tasker. He's Donald Jones. We're holding the fort down for John Murphy, who is in New Jersey getting ready for the Bills game tonight against the New York Jets. This is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Reed's Gens brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's linebacker Matt Milano. Milano was the Bills' fifth-round draft pick out of Boston College this past April. In Week 7 against Tampa Bay, Milano was in on five tackles and had his first interception of the season when he picked off a pass intended for tight end Cameron Brate. Last Sunday against the Raiders, Milano had a 40-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown in the second quarter. Matt Milano, this week's diamond in the rough. Presented by Reach Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills.
Matt Milano had a nice game last week, a couple of big plays. He got that popped-up fumble, ran mm-hmm. it in right before our time. I was actually standing down in the tunnel. I couldn't see any of it, and I heard the crowd.
Oh, okay.
Like, what happened, interception? I didn't know it until it was Monday when I finally saw the highlight of him catching it and running it in. And then, of course, he had the forced fumble on a kickoff coverage as well.
Because you were going down for
– I was going down for the Cookie Gilchrist induction, yeah.
You know, you had a jacket on.
Yeah.
That had like the Buffalo, it was your Wall of Fame jacket.
Yeah.
And it had the Buffalo nickels.
Buttons are all Buffalo nickel. They give it to all the Wall of Fame guys. And the only time you can wear it is at halftime of a game when you're inducting somebody.
Yeah.
So it's the only time. But then I forgot too, they also give you a nice little leather armed, like Letterman's mm-hmm. jacket with it embroidered on it too.
That's cool.
I forgot I even had that. And I think it was Booker Edgerson had his on. I was like, oh, man, I should have worn that one.
It's not in your closet?
It is in my closet. I forgot it was there. You can't imagine how much Bills gear I got.
I mean, you know, I've given so much stuff away. Because they give us so much stuff, and I'm like, all right. It says, since I was a player, you know, it's like, all right, man, I can't take any more of this stuff. I just got to give it away.
Listen,
at
least you're lucky. Your stuff's from the 2000s. Mine's from like the 90s. I got like Zubaz. You know, I got stuff.
Old school stuff.
Bright. I got a jacket that's actually getting sent back to me. It's like all leather and it's all colorful, patchy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just like
a
straight 90s look.
Yeah. Anyway, we got it because we're talking about Matt Milano, diamond in the rough. Had mm-hmm. a couple of nice plays. And actually, it's weird because now he probably won't even play defense tonight because Ramon Humber's going to be back on the field. And listen, people are saying, hey, what's going to happen? May Milano maybe get some time? No way. Humber's the guy. I think
Humber's
he's going to be in there 100% of the snaps.
You know, Humber took over that spot way back in the spring.
Oh, yeah.
And
almost from day one of training camp,
I'm telling you. Yeah, and it was like there was never any shot of somebody else getting in there, you know. And I think if they – way back in the spring when he took over that spot, if they didn't feel like he could hold it down, they would have drafted somebody early. We need a linebacker. You know, because it's so – that in, that position in Leslie Frazier and McDermott's defense is a very important position. But you got to go sideline to sideline, be able to cover guys, all of that stuff. And so
– he was making a ton of tackles, too, when he was in there before he broke his thumb.
He was leading the team in tackles, you know. And so he's important to this defense. He's back out there tonight. That's going to be big for this defense.
I think it's a huge boost for him. And I'm not saying anything that, like, Matt Milano couldn't play or didn't play well. He obviously played very well, made a couple of plays that were real splash plays. But Humber is the guy who's going to get back in the and I think the defense will be better for it. We got on to that as well. We were just coming back in the John Murphy Show. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. We're filling in for Murph. He's in New Jersey getting ready for the game tonight. We're talking about an interview that Murph just sent back to us with Jim Nance. And Jim Nance was talking about a lot of interesting things when they were kind of going around the draft. And Jim Nance is obviously a national broadcaster and working for CBS tonight. He was talking about Brady and the trade and Garoppolo trade going to San Francisco. And interesting enough, you're playing the Jets tonight who they're looking for a quarterback, but it looked like, you know, now with the 49ers not winning any games, the Cleveland Browns not winning any games, where are they going to get one in the draft? I mean, they're not going to be in the, one of the top two or three slots if those quarterbacks are actually worth those draft picks. But then the Niners get Garoppolo. That takes them kind of out of that mix.
Out of it,
The Browns and now the Buffalo Bills are the two teams standing who have a ton of draft picks at the top of next year's draft. And I'll tell you what, the way Tyrod Taylor's playing, and you've heard him around the league and around the country, Tyrod Taylor is creeping up everybody's respect chart, right? I mean, they're like, man, that wouldn't be bad having a guy like that.
I think, and I also think that because you have this question with his contract at the end of the season, I think Coach McDermott really believes in Tyrod Taylor and what he can do on the field. I don't think it's just lip service with him, what he says, you know, Tyrod's our guy. I truly believe that he believes in Tyrod Taylor. So even if they decided, and I've been saying this, especially for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying, look, you keep Tyrod Taylor on this roster. He's not costing you a boatload of money. For a quarterback, he's not costing you crazy money. Even if you wanted to draft one, or even if you feel like Peterman is the guy, that's fine, you know, but you need to keep Tyrod Taylor here because he can do things for this offense that other guys can't do, and he can be here to help bring along another guy. But I think Tyrod Taylor is your guy moving forward.
I think you may be right because here's think about this as well. This is a guy, Tyrod, who knows how important this opportunity was to him.
Yeah.
He took a pay cut to stay here. He could have forced their hand. He could have done a number of things when his contract, when they were finagling around with it. He took the money. He's earning every cent this year. I mean, for that position, what he's done, where this team is, Tyrod's a bargain to me. He's doing extremely well. He's been a guy who did that knowing that it would help the team in the cap situation. He did it knowing that this was a great opportunity for him. It's a win-win for both sides. Mm-hmm. And he took the step with his representation and said, okay, listen, we'll do a new deal. I'll take $15 million and we'll go from here and I'll bet on myself.
Right.
Well, sooner or later, somebody's going to realize he won the bet.
Right. If he continues to play like he's been playing, I think
– I don't want to get rid of him. I don't want that guy to go anywhere.
And I'm telling you, he's happy right now.
And now they built the team like they built it. I mean, they got a great defense. They got the team around him. They got this run game. I mean, now it's like, wow, you know, we got a thing.
Yeah, and the team around him, they all respect him as their leader.
Listen, I respect him, man. Yeah. That guy's – he's an outstanding guy. And the thing about it is, and you know this too, a quarterback gets judged differently than everybody else, not only by the media, by the fans, but also by the players in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Physically on the field, they don't get asked to do a lot, and they get dropped back and throw it.
Right.
You know, they're judged by what's between their ears, you know, and how much courage they have. And also this, and this is the big thing. When guys get to the stadium in the morning, he's already there.
He's already there.
When they leave, his car's still parked there. When they get back, it's like he never left. When they get back in the morning, he's still there. You know, he's there again, right? He puts in the time.
Yeah.
That is the absolute acid test for a quarterback in the NFL. If he's working hard at it, putting in long hours, doing all the film study, all the playbook work, all the game planning with the coaching staff, he's in there on Tuesdays when everybody else is out, you know, mowing the lawn, going to the bank,
right?
You know, getting the dry cleaning.
Everybody's traveling,
going to the barber.
They've
got all that stuff. He's there.
He's there.
That, to me, sets an example that permeates every bit of the roster, and that's what guys look at. When he's doing that, they are on board with him 100%, and he's done that. I mean, that, and it's showing on the field.
You know, I know we got to get to a break here, but I think, first of all, back in the spring when he was going through this whole contract thing, still going through it. Remember, he had that surgery. He was here working out, through a contract dispute with the team, trying to figure out what was going to happen with that. He's here working out. And that was, he had a chance to meet Coach McDermott and all of the coaching staff when they first got hired. So obviously the players respected that. And then the fact that he decided to take a pay cut to come back. Because if you remember, all of the quarterbacks that got signed in the offseason, it was like a domino effect. Tyrod signed his deal. He restructured and signed. And then everybody else, Mike Glennon, everybody else started to fall into place. But I think if Tyrod didn't sign back here, he would have been offered some money to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
and so the players on the team look at it like, man, like I respect you for taking a pay cut to come back to a team that benched you last year.
Yeah.
You know, they respect him for that. I think they follow him as a leader.
I'm Steve Tasker. He's Donald Jones. We're here at the John Murphy Show. Murph is in New Jersey getting ready for the Buffalo Bills game against the New York Jets tonight. This is John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're going to be back with Mark Kelso, one of the greatest radio analysts on game broadcast in the league, I promise you. We're at One Bills Drive, and we're on Buffalo Bills Radio Network. This is the John Murphy Show.
It's your sports update from One Bills Drive. Big game tonight. Bills and Jets tonight. Game at 8:25 p.m. The Bills playing down at MetLife Stadium, so get your popcorn ready. It's a big divisional opponent. Buffalo Bills safety Micah Hyde has been named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. In the month of October, 4 interceptions, 6 passes defensed, and 22 tackles. That is a huge month for the Buffalo Bills safety as he's named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Browns' Josh Gordon could potentially play in the 5 games of 2017. He's been reinstated conditionally. He's allowed to come back and work out with the team, but he's not allowed to practice or anything like that yet. So we'll stay tuned to that and see how that works out. The Houston Astros won the World Series last night. They won the game. Game 7, 5-1. They go on to win their first World Series ever, big for the city of Houston. The Buffalo Sabres and the Coyotes tonight at 10 p.m. Stay tuned to the Bills, and then you can turn over to the Buffalo Sabres. But Buffalo Sabres trying to rebound from a loss against San Jose. This is a first of a 2-game road trip, and then they will look to come back home and get back on the winning side of things. And that is your sports update.
Thank you, Donald. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're doing that. I'm up to my neck over here and, like, looking at this, the calls on the thing. And then I haven't even given the phone number out for the show yet. So I'm glad you're doing those. By the way, that Houston Astros, I am not a baseball guy. And, in fact, I don't like to watch the sport on TV. But I did watch the games. You got to watch a game 7.
You watch game?
I watched game 7. All 5.5. No, it wasn't 5.5. But it was 4. It was like over 4 hours the game was, and it ended
last
up.
Last night, was
oh
it?
Oh, my gosh. It was like watching a glacier move.
I just so happened to watch the one inning where they scored all the runs.
Well, there you go.
That's the one
that
inning.
That was it.
I
missed that inning. Yeah. I got the rest of the
You watched the rest of it. So the rest of it was boring.
It was.
But, yeah, I watched that one inning, and then I turned it off.
But I will say this. Seeing the Astros win the World Series, awesome, because I was down there week 1 of the NFL season right after Hurricane Harvey hit. It's a great city. I worked there. I played for the Oilers back in the day.
Right, yeah.
It's a great city. And to see those people come together and to have a World Series to celebrate, it's kind of cool. It's really cool.
Isn't it crazy how that stuff happens? Like, you know, for them to win the World Series right after they just went through this whole – this big hurricane.
Yeah, let me tell you something. That hurricane was no joke.
I know. And for them to come out and now win the World Series, that's big for that city. It's kind of like back Katrina when the Saints went on to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's crazy kind of how, you know, things like that can maybe propel a team and a city, you know, to new heights.
Yeah, maybe Chicago needed a hurricane during that 115 year.
They needed
something. Also, the Sabres are on tonight.
Buffalo needed a big snowstorm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We need more Snowvembers. Yeah, but the Sabres are on tonight, too. I am a big Sabres fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping they go out. But now they're playing the Coyotes. The Sabres are last in the East. The Coyotes are last in the West. I was talking to the instigators. I feel like that's a It's a must win. I got to win that. I want my guys.
Two last place teams.
Yeah, we can't. We don't be last.
You know, this is going to sound bad because I'm in Buffalo, but I don't. I don't watch hockey. What's the Sabres record right now?
I can't tell you because I don't know. I'm neck deep in the football thing. All I know is they got a game tonight, and I want them to win. And I'm going to probably catch some.
They have a two game road trip, like on the West Coast.
Yeah, on the West Coast. They had like a 3 or 4 game West Coast trip out a week or two ago, and you know it's just. They started really rough. Now they're kind of back to where they're kind of okay now, I think. But, I'm just – I'm so neck deep in the NFL right now. I can't – you know, I'll catch up with the Sabres when I get a chance to.
When you get a chance. Football season, and I always talk to people about this, obviously as a player it was like this because as a player, when it becomes football season, it's like, you know, you go from the summer and you look up and it's wintertime. You know, because the weeks go by so fast. You're not really paying attention to what day of the week it is. All you know is, especially in the league, Monday we come in, we have, you know, our film study and all that stuff. Tuesday we're off. Wednesday is practice. You're getting ready for Sunday. And the next thing you know, you look up, Halloween is past. It's already Thanksgiving. Is that what we're talking about right now? And then Christmas and all of that stuff. And then the season is over, you know. Yeah. And so once you get the football season, you're so neck deep in it that you do forget about the rest of the world and – even what day it is.
Yeah, that's the truth. You get into that to that routine and that you feel comfortable in and everything else takes care of itself. Yeah. But believe me, I can't wait to jump in both feet of the Sabres, particularly if they can get to play in April, May, and if they can play in June.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome, man. I can't wait up. But anyway, so being neck deep in football, I know another guy that's neck deep is Mark Kelso. We're going to get a chance. Murph is going to talk to Kelso in New Jersey. With us, Steve Tasker, Donald Jones. We're in from John Murphy on the John Murphy Show. Murph is in New Jersey. And for those of you who haven't heard, obviously, there's a game tonight in New Jersey, the Buffalo Bills and the Jets. We're going to take a break, and we're also going to come back. We're going to take a break after this, after we send this to Murph in New Jersey. That's my mistake. Let's go to New Jersey. Murph is ready. He's got Kelso there. This is the John Murphy Show, and we're going to go to John Murphy in New Jersey with Mark Kelso.
All right, thanks very much, fellas. We are coming to you from the Bills Headquarters Hotel in Jersey City, New Jersey. The Bills and the Jets coming up tonight. And my broadcast partner tonight, Mark Kelso, and I are sitting here talking about the game. We'd be doing this anyway, even if there was no camera here.
Absolutely. We'd love to. Tonight? Broadcast partner tonight?
Yes. Well, you know, for 14 years or whatever you are, too. Yeah. Yes, tonight's your last night.
Okay. Thank you.
Produce or else.
Thank you.
From a player's perspective. You played a lot of Monday Night Football in your career, some Sundays.
Did, yeah.
Are these tough games, or does the primetime, you know, spotlight kind of energize people?
Certainly there's some adrenaline, and I think there's an infusement of energy. But a Thursday night game is difficult for me. I mean, we're talking about the safety of the game. We're talking about wanting to play the game safely and successfully, but then you play these short weeks. I don't know this to be a fact, but one of the things that is a fact is that the Bills are one of the oldest teams in the league, right? So they're probably the third oldest or something as far as experience, because Coach McDermott and his staff want experienced guys that have had a pedigree in this league and have proved that they can do it and have that team culture concept kind of built into them as well, the guys that they bring on board. But when you've been playing this game 3 or 4 years, you are not healthy or not completely ready to play a game, I don't think, by Thursday night. I mean, it really limits your practice opportunities during the week. You certainly cannot install new things. You may have had some opportunities to install things that you might unveil on Thursday night that you practiced through training camp or through the course of the year and said, okay, when Thursday night comes, these are the packages we're going to run. But certainly you don't have anything in this shortened week, and it's difficult for players. And like I said, in the era where we're trying to say we want the game to be played as safe as possible, I don't necessarily think this is the safest situation, and I don't know any statistics on that or not, if guys get more injured. But it's difficult. A short week is always difficult. Obviously, on the back end, you get the extra time, which is probably a good thing as well. But difficult to play, particularly when it's a Thursday night.
I feel like the Bills are a better team, a dramatically better team now than they were 8 weeks ago when they opened the season against the Jets. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think they've formed a template here on both sides of the football for how they want to win, the players that they want to make plays, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, who they need to put the ball in the hands of so that they can have productivity on the offensive side. And I think they've settled in. We've talked often about the two groups, both defensively and offensively, that need the most synergy and have to play together as a unit, and I would say that's the defensive backs and the offensive line. The offensive line for the Bills has still had some fluctuation in personnel, and with the Cordy Glenn injury and coming into the season, and then with situation with the revolving door kind of between Vlad Dukas and John Miller, and then some injuries along the way. But last week they really found themselves. DeMarco's been great blocking as a lead blocker, and Incognito still continues to be extremely effective when he pulls from his guard spot, whether it's on the play side or whether he's coming back to the opposite side. So I think they've found some plays in the running game, particularly, that they can settle into. And then defensively, the defensive backfield, we really have a couple true safeties now that can kind of keep that entire defensive backfield together, play within themselves, and force teams, force opposing offenses to take 11, 12, 13 plays to get themselves in scoring position. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you have 11 or 12 chances to make a big play defensively, and the Bills have made a lot of them to this point in the season.
They hope to get Jordan Poyer back today, who's a major contributor on the back end of that defense, and they may get Ramon Humber back today. He's questionable also.
Yeah, and guys that have played in their stead, Milano has been fantastic. Yep. I mean, the first game.
He's gotten better every week, Milano.
Yeah, he has. And when you get thrust into that situation and played against Atlanta when Humber first went out in the first half of that game, and you say, I mean, it's a little overwhelming. There's no question about it. I mean, the talent level that he competed against at Boston College was very, very good, but certainly not the talent level that he's competing against on a weekly basis here. But he's done a terrific job, and just, you're right, he's gotten better every week. He understands his position. He's made some big plays, and as they fly around the football and try to make plays. Trey Elston is another guy that they came in and did a really good job for Jordan Poyer last week in his absence. And Trey is like a torpedo out there, and he's just got to play within himself and play within the scheme. And I think when he's around guys like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they can instruct him in that, because he's got a lot of aggression. He does some things really well, but there's some times when he's got to back off the aggression, particularly in the open field, when he's got to settle down and make a tackle as opposed to trying to really make a big hit. But came up with a big interception, protecting that inside leverage when Tre'Davious White was at the end of the game last week, I guess, when he came up with that play. But
yep.
That's the other thing that the short week does not afford you, is some guys that are coming back off injury. Certainly it would be really beneficial to Jordan if he had the opportunity to have till Sunday to play this game, yeah. But he does not, and so we'll see if he's able to take the field tonight.
With Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, we'll have the call of the game tonight on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, and all down the Bills Radio Network, 22 stations. How do you account for the incredible run of takeaways by this defense and special teams? 15 takeaways in the last five games, Mark. In the last five games, they've won four of those five. I mean, if you ask me one reason for this recent string of success, four wins, one loss, I think it's pretty simple. They're taking the ball away.
Right, and I think going into the season, if you think back to the beginning of the season, they asked Coach McDermott, what does it take to win early in the season? And he said, you got to play fundamentally sound football. You got to win the takeaway battle. And if you don't make mistakes and you create mistakes by the opposition and you play fundamentally sound, you're going to win a lot of games early in the year. And that has borne out here through the first seven games of the season. And I think it's a concerted effort, and it's an intentional attempt to create turnovers. It's guys making tackles, but when you're the second or third guy in, you need to be raking at that ball. When it's a big play, and you see that receiver's got the ball hanging a little bit, he doesn't have, you know, as much of the surface area. I mean, nowadays they teach those running backs and receivers as much of the surface area of the football that you can cover, the less opportunity it is for the defense to knock it out. But they've done some definitive things that we talked about in training camp when they brought guys in. Who'd they bring in?
Peanut Tillman.
When they brought in Tillman, who just created turnovers for Chicago at a fantastic clip. And so some of that's really intentional. And I know some teams, sometimes you say you get lucky sometimes, but teams do make their own luck and make their own opportunities sometimes. And when you're punching at the ball and raking at it, it's not going to come out every time. But if you continue to do it and you're intentional about it, then more often than not, you'll have an opportunity to get that ball out, dislodge it. Last week was just fantastic. I mean, they scored points off it, so not only did they turn it over, but they scored 7 points off it and then gave the offense the ball three more times in good field position.
Those takeaways, though, have masked, the last three games anyway, some deficiencies in what they're doing defensively. They're giving up a lot of yardage through the air the last three games.
Well, and Not that they want to give up over 300 yards in a passing game, but first of all, Jameis Winston was out of his mind.
Yeah.
I have not his, and I only watched a few games that he's played, and I know he's got a great pedigree and great promise for a very bright future here in the NFL, and has been doing well at this point in his career. And but he played like I haven't seen him play. I mean, he was sharp. He was throwing back shoulder stuff. And he was moving up and down the field. But the Bills aren't as aggressive defensively as sometimes you would think you want them to be, or in certain situations. And part of that's personnel situations. You got a guy like Sharice Wright, who's a really terrific cornerback, but he's more suited to a man to a zone situation, and
right.
And the leverage control and the way he can sink back as a corner who's playing the flat, but he can get underneath that deeper route, that flag cut in behind him, and he can defend that or come up with a big play where some other corners aren't as adept at doing that. That's where his skill set lends itself to be best. And in a man situation, which they played a little bit against Tampa, it's difficult, man. You're trying to cover those guys, and he was trying to cover Mike Evans a few times, and he got loose. So there's some situations there with the injury, and I think it's the philosophy that the Bills want to maintain defensively. We're going to force teams to drive the football to beat us. We're not going to give up big plays, and I think they've only given up, I don't know the statistics on the plus 30-yard passes on the season, but I would suggest that it's less than five, probably.
Yeah, probably right.
I can remember two for sure and a couple that were right around that 30-yard mark. But if you don't give up big plays in this league and you have a chance to just line it up again, then you have an opportunity to create a big play defensively.
All right, tonight's matchup, the Jets, and we spoke a moment ago how I think you agree that the Bills are better than they were back in week one, and I think the Jets are slightly better, and maybe the Jets are a lot more confident team than they were back in week one. I don't think they're a real good team. I don't think they're playing really well, but they're keeping it close, you know, in their three-game losing streak.
Yeah, I would contend that they're much better.
Much better.
Yeah, I would contend that they're much better. I think McGowan. Well, I think McGowan has settled in. He makes good decisions. He's decisive. He doesn't have a great arm, but he's got a catchable an arm that throws a catchable ball. So he throws a really kind of soft ball. He can throw the deep ball. He's got a pretty good release. He understands. He's been in the league 15 years.
Yeah.
So he understands blitz pickup, and he understands when guys are bringing pressure that he's got to get the ball out quick. They run a lot of things that you would think they would run for a young quarterback. Of course, he doesn't have a lot of experience in the league. I mean, a lot of playing time in the league.
Right.
He has a lot of experience, certainly, because he's been doing it for a long time, but had not played that many games in his career. But they're keeping it simple for him. They run some flood game, and then they'll run a clear game on the other side, and they'll bring a receiver from the far side of the field to come underneath the area, the zone area, where those two receivers have cleared out. The screen game has become a really good play for them, and they got one of the best to ever run it. Really, Forte is fantastic in the screen game. He has a play last week. Was it last week against Atlanta? It was against the Dolphins, maybe 3rd and 19, and he caught a screen pass, and he was just magical. I mean, it was kind of McCoy-like, but he's nothing like McCoy because he's really smooth and not real quick and that lateral quickness that McCoy has. But that was fantastic. So I think they're doing some good things there. I think the Jermaine Kearse situation, he wasn't even in the fold in that first week, and now he's playing at a really high level. Anderson has emerged as a guy who can stretch the field deep, and Seferian Jenkins. I think Brownie mentioned before, he's their leading receiver right now with 31 receptions. He's great in the red area. He becomes a personnel mismatch, and when they put him and Forte on the backside and run that little H read combination, so it's a hook route, it's a deep route, it's a 15-yard in route, and then Forte's cutting off that and running a circle pattern. He's running out. Maybe he runs the seam. And a good key for them is that if he's outside, if his foot's outside that offensive tackle, guaranteed he's coming out on the pass play. But you've got to attack them. You've got to take the air out, or they're going to be really effective. On the defensive side of the ball, they've got a lot of young players, but great young talent. I still think they're playing pretty well inside it with their defensive line, even in the absence of Sheldon Richardson with the trade which brought Kearse here from Seattle. But they're playing a lot of man defense, and sometimes you're going to get beat in man coverage, particularly when you got two safeties that are rookie players. But both those guys, particularly Adams, has played at a really high level. Looks like he's going to be the guy, everything that they hoped that they were getting in that first-round pick they got.
I like the progress that Darren Lee has shown, the linebacker, their first-rounder a year ago. He's still undersized. A year ago, he could barely hold his own, but he's a decent player now who runs all over the place.
Yeah,
what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing about Rex Ryan's comment.
Oh, Rex,
when I said, he said, what about that Darren Lee? You know, I don't think he's that good. And I said, and Rex left because we were talking to him, and he was their first-round pick last year, of course, and he was running around. But you're right. He was a little lean. When he got himself, when he didn't take the right angles and he got tied up with offensive linemen, he got controlled and he was not able to make plays. But I kind of disagree with all due respect to Coach Ryan and his defensive acumen. I disagree with him. I said, you know what? I think this kid's going to be a really good player, and he's actually playing well. And we're seeing it. And we saw it last year. He just, you're right, he's bigger. Did he change his number? Wasn't he 50 last year?
I don't remember.
I think he was 50 last year.
Don't do that to me. So close to kickoff. Don't do that. So I've got these numbers memorized.
There you
please.
Go. Oh, he's 58. But he is really playing well. And him and Demario Davis make a great combination inside. Here's the interesting thing. Here's something fans can look for tonight. This is the only team in the league that I've seen in the last few years. They'll play with seven defensive backs. So in certain long situations, on third and long situations, they'll put seven defensive backs in the game. They'll put two defensive linemen, and then they're going to put Demario Davis and Darren Lee, and they can cover on the backs, or they'll bring pressure. They may only rush three. They may bring those guys, or they'll cover them on the tight ends. They'll play a two-man situation on the back end. But lots of opportunities for the Bills tonight offensively because they play a lot of man coverage. And when you play man coverage and you start moving pre-snap and you start motioning guys across or flipping the tight end, they're going to move their defensive front if you move your tight end. Unlike a lot of teams, they're going to stay where they are. But there's going to be a lot of opportunities, I think, in the stack game and the cluster game and situations where you're trying to beat that man coverage.
Hey, last thing, we don't know whether Calvin Benjamin will play tonight. They haven't said yet, and that might go right up to, you know, kickoff or at least to the announcement of the inactives. But in a larger sense, in a broader sense, what does Calvin Benjamin bring to the Bills roster?
Well, I think he, on paper, he brings a true number one receiver. I don't know that they had that guy in the building with the departure of Sammy Watkins. And now you have an opportunity to spread the football around. I mean, Charles Clay continues to be a big target when he's available, which he won't be available tonight.
He could be back for New Orleans, though.
Which would be great because that's going to be a difficult game as well. But I think Benjamin gives him, first of all, he's a personnel mismatch with most cornerbacks. I mean, he's not gonna run down the field and maybe outrun them. But he can catch the ball in tight spaces. He can catch the ball outside his body frame. And again, he's a personnel mismatch. He's 6'5 or 6'6.
6'5, yeah.
So he's going to have an opportunity to catch a lot of balls against smaller guys. They're going to pay some attention to him, which is going to open up opportunities across the board. It opens up opportunities for Zay Jones, who's starting to feel it, and it's coming. It's coming for him. And I would suspect that when the season kind of unfolds here, that he'll have a large number of catches here as the season continues to progress, and then it opens up LeSean McCoy as well because you can't bring an extra guy down in the box if you're going to pay extra attention to Calvin Benjamin. Gives you a great target in the red area, which again is a personnel mismatch. So you might line up Trips on one side, line him up on the single receiver side, and see what's going on over there. Now, if he's running a back shoulder fade or an out pattern or something on the outside, he's going to be a big target for Tyrod Taylor once they develop some synergy. So I think it'll be a good addition. They obviously know him extremely well and know the culture that he brings to the locker room so that it won't disrupt what they've already begun to build here in Buffalo.
Okay. You got anything left for tonight? You good for tonight as well?
I am good for tonight. I'm bringing it, though, tonight because it's a short week. I got it all compressed in there. You got to get it all out.
You start at 8:25 with kickoff. Of course, pregame starts a couple hours before that on the radio network. Mark Kelso now bringing the call of the game, the Bills and the Jets tonight from MetLife Stadium. Let's send it back now to the studio back in Orchard Park. Fellas?
Thanks, Murph. I appreciate it. Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. We were watching that, and Donald and I were looking at each other going, man, Kelso talks so much X and O's for a radio guy. I mean, he really is as good as they come in the radio business. But I got to tell you, it's like listening to a college class when you're listening to him break down the game. I'm like, dude, you know what? Just entertain me for a minute.
I'm telling you, sometimes it's like a college class. You ever, when you were in college and you were practicing, you ever have night classes after practice?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's like for me. It's wow. All right. You're just trying to follow and follow. He's so knowledgeable about it, but at the same time, sometimes.
I'm with
you're
you, like, man. I'm
with you. Mark.
Donald Jones along with Steve Tasker. We're on the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're going to take a break from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We're going to come up with Rich Eisen of the NFL Network right after the break. We had a little chance to talk with him and the studio pregame guys on the television side. We'll get a chance to catch up with them on the John Murphy Show after this break.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones filling in for John Murphy, who's on assignment in New Jersey for the Buffalo Bills versus the Jets tonight in the MetLife Stadium. And we had a chance, Donald and I, earlier to record an interview with Rich Eisen, the NFL Network anchor, who is doing the TV pregame tonight to get ready for the Bills-Jets. So we had a chance to record something with him, and we'll show you that and let you listen to that right now. Rich Eisen is an NFL Network host. You can see him today on Thursday Night Football, game day live at 6 p.m. Eastern. He's the host also of The Rich Eisen Show, which airs Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern, on DirecTV's Audience Network and Fox Sports Radio. Rich, thanks for taking a couple of minutes here. We really appreciate it.
You got it. What's on your mind?
Well, we got a game tonight. We got a Bills team that here in Western New York is a little bit exciting, and we kind of like the vibe coming out of the room, but it's also a New York Jet team that, well, you know, they're overachievers, and they're on a three-game losing streak, and we don't want that to end.
It's funny that your philosophy, along with Jets fans' philosophies, might actually align, because as well as Josh McCown has been playing, and as good a guy as he is to root for, Jet fans know that when he's a 41-year-old guy, that's not the quarterback of the team of all these young guys that they have that are beginning to blossom and clearly buy into what Todd Bowles is selling. So how best to get yourself a franchise quarterback? Well, that's through a draft, unless right. they want to pay a ton of money to Kirk Cousins, because, as you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is no longer walking through that door, in case there was any pipe dream that the Jets would have that he would hit the free agent market. And I believe, by the way, that that's part of the reason why the Patriots made this trade, is that they knew they couldn't franchise tag him, because they're not gonna spend the amount of money on Garoppolo that they don't even spend on Brady, and they wouldn't be able to trade him once he had that franchise tag on him, because I don't know if anybody wants to take a shot on Garoppolo when you're paying him that much money. So the idea of him being a free agent and walking out the door down to the New York Jets was something I think they had to take into account. Just bringing it all together for an AFC East battle that I think Jets fans wouldn't mind seeing the Jets losing streak continue as well, with guys like Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield available in this year's draft.
Hey, Rich, what do you think about this Bills team? It seems like a lot of people are starting to buy into this team on the national level. What do you think about this Bills team?
Well, I've been buying into them. I've picked the Bills a handful of times this year on game day morning, including last week, saying that it's just time to say that the Bills are a better team that's out there. Now, I did not pick them when they were in Atlanta.
Right.
I didn't see that one coming. And that's those types of wins are the difference makers between playoff runs and not. Think about it. 4-3 is a different cat right now than 5-2 when you're trying to chase down a 6-2 Patriots team on a bye week. But when you've got LeSean McCoy at the top of his game and Tyrod Taylor getting better and better each week, and a defense that is definitely plugging into what the coach is selling on that front,
right.
And then when they get aggressive like they did in the trade deadline and add Kelvin Benjamin like that, that's good stuff. That is cause to be exciting. You know, and we're going to talk on the pregame show tonight how we have seen since the Music City Miracle Day 2-5-2 Bills teams, but this one's just a different. It's just a different feel to it because they're young and dynamic and gelling around a coach who is selling a first year program that they're buying. This one feels different to me. It just really does.
Talk a little bit, too, and I guess people all over the country, we're talking with Rich Eisen, NFL Network, and the Rich Eisen Show, Steve Tasker, along with Donald Jones on Buffalo Bills Radio. Talk to us a little bit. Everybody around the league still buzzing, Rich, over this newfound deal in the NFL where everybody wants to trade somebody, and it's got draft picks, it's got quality players that are switching teams. It's like we've never seen this before in my decades of covering the league. You've never seen this many prominent players move around. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think you're seeing skilled position players come off the college campus in year one and dominate. I mean, not just perform capably or above expectation, dominate. Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Those are just three off the top of my
head. Tyreek Hill a year ago.
Tyreek Hill from a year ago. Yeah. Odell Beckham is still, you know, a young guy.
Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott playing extremely well.
Juju Smith-Schuster just this past
the list goes on and on.
I mean,
yeah.
So when you're looking around that your league and you're seeing that, why stick around to see if Kelvin Benjamin's knee injury is going to merit the contract that he's going to ask for? When you can get that draft choice in your back pocket and play Chris Samuel or McCaffrey.
Right.
I mean, give it a try. And I'm sure that, I mean, take a look. I know Zay Jones caught a ball, which I know is, you know, but why not? I mean, where there's the Zay Joneses around the world, around the league, where you give a shot to. In this day and age, rather than the 27, 28, 29-year-old receiver. Or in the case of Jay Ajayi, I remember when he was drafted, the reason why he fell was because of injury concern. Let's see what Damian Williams or Kenyon Drake looks like. I think if these are, you know, shocking trades because they are names that we're familiar with, and they're shocking trades because they sound like the fantasy trades that we make involving these guys, and it's happening in real time, and I think we're going to see more and more of it. Plus, the trade deadline was moved up, which I think was a smart move, as opposed to being like week 10, week 11, where now, you know, Garoppolo has half a season to get in that playbook. And you know, Kelvin Benjamin looks like he's, you know, I'm assuming he's going to be up tonight. He might play 17 games this year. So, because he's already... The Bills have already had their bye week, and Carolina hasn't had its yet. So I think we should get used to this sort of thing, and it's fun. It's great. I said on my show on Wednesday that it you know, in the same way that the NBA and Major League Baseball is beginning to feel like the NFL in terms of, you know, storylines and narrative generating machine that the NFL is in terms of drama. This is the first time when the NFL mimicked NBA and Major League Baseball's trade deadline, now, which can only help.
Rich, Tyrod Taylor, I'm sure he's one guy who's like, man, I get a new toy to play with. And Kelvin Benjamin, I can kind of throw the ball up to him. I think a lot of people here in Buffalo, you know, we've talked on the show about should they keep Tyrod Taylor. Is he playing good enough to keep Tyrod Taylor here in the future? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I grew up in the New York City area. As a Jet fan, and you know, and I do hope that me and members of my family do get to see them in the Super Bowl again before we go 6 feet under. I was hoping the Bills would be foolish enough to let Tyrod go and the Jets would pick him up.
Right.
I mean,
I was with you. I knew he'd be playing somewhere. You know,
I thought
for a split second
that the Bills might do something, and that would have been foolish.
Right.
I like him. I like him, and I think he's a leader. People follow him, and he's got a skill set that is unique in this world. I don't think if I had to choose to move on in the 21st century in the new millennium NFL, I want somebody who can beat me two different ways. I don't want that drop back guy that, you know, that can somehow, some way, you know, figure out pre-snap who's coming from where, and that's the way I'm going to succeed. I want someone with some escapability and some ability to make some plays when contain is broke or somebody's dropping seven guys into coverage and leaving me 10 to 15 yards of clear turf to go pick something up. Mm-hmm. I want that guy as opposed to the other.
We're talking with Rich Eisen, Steve Task, along with Donald Jones. Rich, in the last few seconds here we have, just give me a 30-second cap off about what you think this game will look like tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Oh God, I have no idea, man. The last game that really mattered between the two teams, I didn't see Ryan Fitzpatrick turning it over in three consecutive possessions. Yeah. I didn't see that one coming. Usually things get a little haywire. I can only hope that the color rush uniforms in this game doesn't drive colorblind people crazy like it did the last time it was on Thursday night. You know, I don't know. I do expect the Bills to win. They're the better team. Top to bottom, soup to nuts. They come in with the more dynamic players, and they should win it. And they have to. I mean, if they have designs on winning this division, which is what I think that their designs are right now, they got to win. And then when it all comes down to it, when Brady walks into that building, you got to beat him.
Right.
And I think that's the difference between this team having a special 2017 or a building block year.
Rich Eisen of the Rich Eisen Show and NFL Network. Thanks so much for spending a couple minutes with us.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Have a good broadcast tonight.
You too. Thanks.
That was our interview a little earlier with Rich Eisen. Some of the stuff you take away from that is it's interesting. These primetime games, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night football, you get a chance to have the national media parachute into your town. And you get an idea of what they think of your team, of your coaching staff, of the, and particularly in a year like this, new coaching staff, a new direction, and this new program. And Rich Eisen kind of alluded to it, that your quarterback, you know, and – the respect that Tyrod Taylor is starting to get from around the league, and you find out what other people thought about him during the contract thing going on, people were just waiting for the Bills to get rid of that guy, and it didn't happen. And I think right now, here in Western New York and Bills Nation, they're loving the fact that he's their quarterback.
I think Coach McDermott has believed in Tyrod since he was hired here, you know, and I think they made the right decision to bring him back, because to be honest with you, if they let him go, you know, I wouldn't agree with that move, because you didn't really have anybody else out there who you could bring in and say he can win now. So what message, when you're trying to bring back guys like Lorenzo, guys like Kyle, and you just let our quarterback go? Sorry, coach, I can't make that happen. I'm going to go ahead and retire. I'm not coming back to Buffalo.
It's interesting, too, that happens, and you don't – after the preseason, nobody's really clamoring for Nathan Peterman. You don't get a chance to take snaps anymore. I mean, they're going with this guy. And I think Tyrod, I don't know how fast he earned or won over this coaching staff, but his character, his work ethic, and his play now have really done all it needs to be done to make sure that, you know, this is Tyrod Taylor's team going forward. I mean, you agree with that?
I do. I think his character, work ethic, and play on the field, and now you can add another receiver. We'll see if that can even improve this passing game more. The biggest thing is I don't ever expect to have, and I've said this on air before, I don't expect to have Tyrod go for 350, 400 yards. It's just not the game that they want to play. Right. They want to play ahead in the score. They want to play ahead of the sticks.
The down and distance.
The down and distance. And they want to try and stay away from getting down where you have to put the full game on his shoulders. Now, if you do that, I think he showed last year in the Seattle game, he can throw, you know, but I think they want to be able to run the ball, control the clock, which they did last week. And, you know, just control the game where you don't have to put this whole thing on Tyrod Taylor's shoulders. If they can do that consistently, he's always going to go for 165, 200 yards, maybe 250 at the top. But he plays efficient, you know, and that's the biggest thing. He completion percentage of, 74% or something like that last week. He's not turning the ball over. Yeah, you want to see him throw and anticipate a little bit better and all of that stuff. But right now, I think these guys are rallying behind him, and I think they found a winning formula for this team. So why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Do you think, though, too, part of this is not only that they built this team around it, but Tyrod is willing to play that kind of football?
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me that, because I know there are other players at other positions who don't want to play like this. Martavius Bryant in Pittsburgh to be one example. He doesn't like his role. Other punters that I covered kicks for, they don't want to kick the ball 40 yards and have hang time because they want to get a long net so they can go to the Pro Bowl.
Exactly.
Other players, you know, quarterbacks want to drop back. They want to throw it every down. They don't care if they get picked once in a while. They want some touchdowns, you know. Not too many guys are willing to play the kind of football that Tyrod Taylor's playing. We act like he's limited to this. Like this is the only thing that he can do. He's playing with – but you know what? He's playing exactly the way they want him to play.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of quarterbacks wouldn't have the courage or the character to say, okay, I'll do it. And start winning football games. And I don't think he gets credit for that. And I think now, that if you look at it and see how this is playing out, that's exactly what's happening.
I think that is what's happening. And I think that just goes to the message Coach McDermott is trying to send to this team. Look, this is a team, all right? We're building a team together. I understand all of you guys want to put up crazy stats. All of you guys obviously want to go to Pro Bowls and get paid and all of that stuff. But, guys, you get paid when we go to the Super Bowl and we win, you know. And look at the teams who are in the Pro Bowl every year. I mean, in the Super Bowl every year or deep into the playoffs. They usually have most of the guys who are in the Pro Bowl,
right?
You know, and if you're winning, all of the rest of those accolades are going to come, you know. And so first step is for us to win. And we're going to do the things that we have to do to win games. And if you're not on board with that, then you can go ahead and see yourself out of this locker room, which they've gone ahead and shipped some guys out of this locker room.
Absolutely.
And I think these guys believe in that message, and everybody's playing together, And that's just what it is now.
Hey, they're backing up their words with actions. I mean, they're making sure that what they say does come true. He's Donald Jones. I'm Steve Tasker. We're on the John Murphy Show. John is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're getting ready for the Jets game and the Bills tonight. The pregame will start in a few hours, but we've got a couple of – we've got another hour and a little more than that on this show, the John Murphy Show. Chris Brown's going to stop by and give us some insights. John Murphy's going to talk to him. We're also going to take some calls after the top of the hour. I know a lot of people have been waiting, trying to get on. I haven't even given the number out, and we got a whole bunch of people waiting to get on. We're going to do that as well. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back to the John Murphy Show. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. John Murphy on assignment at MetLife Stadium for the Bills-Jets game tonight. Well, we've been on since, I don't know, about noon. We got another hour or so, a little more to do. We're going to do the thing we haven't done all show. We're going to take a call. I'm going to talk to Tom in Buffalo. Tom, go ahead. You got a concern about tonight's game and their ability to stay healthy?
Yeah. Hey, guys, you're doing a fine job of Murph Assen.
No, thank you.
Yeah, tell Murph that when he gets back.
I see you're in a lead seat now, Steve.
I don't know about that, but there's a lot going on over here, and I'm just barely treading water, so bear with me. Go ahead.
Oh, listen, I'm excited because last Sunday in a mutter of a game, I didn't really recall seeing any Bills injuries. I saw one on the Oakland side of the ball and across the league in all the other rain games, but we're getting some of our lead guys back. The rookies have been balling it out. And with not a lot of injuries going into the game, other than normal game wear and tear, and the guys that are on the list are the usual suspects. I mean, they're on there every week, and they get veteran days off and stuff. So I think we're going into this game pretty healthy. But I'm worried about it being a trap game because they're favored tonight, and we were supposed to beat Cincinnati. And if I remember, Cincinnati was actually favored in that game. But we were supposed to win that game.
Well, we were 3-1. Cincinnati was 1-3, and Cincinnati had lost a couple of close games. But I hear you, yeah. And who's favored, who's not favored, really has nothing to do with actually how the game's going to go. But Tom, I hear you. You're right. I think the Bills did come out of the Oakland game pretty healthy. They are getting some guys back on the docket, and it does look like the Jets are not as healthy as they'd like to be or could expect to be. I think the fact that Mo Wilkerson Claiborne,
mm-hmm.
those guys are going to have a lot to say about it as well. They just traded for a cornerback from the San Francisco 49ers as well, and he may mm-hmm. be out there for them. But for those viewers out there, you can see it. Lawrence Thomas is out. Terrence Brooks is doubtful. Brandon Shell is doubtful. Muhammad Wilkerson and Morris Claiborne are both questionable. Those guys, that's a big deal. Those guys are difference makers, particularly up front for a defense that's got to stop LeSean McCoy in the Bills' running game.
And that's what everybody's been talking about. Can the Jets stop this run game? You know, because obviously the Bills had success against them in week one running the ball. And if you don't have Muhammad Wilkerson out there, you know, that's a big blow for your team. If you don't have Morris Claiborne out there, that's a big blow for your team. It's still yet to be seen if Kelvin Benjamin is going to play in this game. But even if he doesn't, Buster Screen, their other corner, has been dealing with concussions. I think he's going to play. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. But I think he's going to play. But still, you have the back end of their defense is banged up. Muhammad Wilkerson, you need him to stop the run. That's really the strongest part of their team overall. And if he's not out there, it's a big blow for them. So we'll see. The Bills are healthy right now. It appears to be getting healthier. And hopefully they can stay healthy. You always wonder about guys with like knee injuries and things. Like if Jordan Poyer goes in this game tonight, you know, can he get through the entire game? Knee injuries are always tricky. He's coming back off of that knee injury. Well, we'll see if he plays. He's questionable in the game. I always wonder about those knee injuries and making it through full games. But even behind him, you got Trey Elston, so I think they'll be okay. But it's, you know, in the NFL and really in sports in general, it's always about you got to have talent on your team. In football, you're going to have injuries. Do you get healthy at the right part of the season?
Yeah, it's a lot about survival. It's also, I mean, you come into this game, and the caller alluded to it, Tom. He said, you know, this may be a trap game. You look over there at the other side, yeah. The Jets are all nicked up. They got a three-game losing streak. We're hot. We're coming off a big win off of one of the teams that we're supposed to go to. You know, we're 12-4 last year. We got this. We're overachieving. All this stuff's going
winning
on.
Winning two straight.
How dangerous is it to go in on the road to a division opponent thinking, yeah, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know, that's dangerous.
It's a primetime game. Okay. You know, there's a lot going on. You're starting to get, you know, LeSean McCoy has been on, I think Deion has called him 2 weeks in a row type of thing, you know. So you're starting to get guys getting all of these interviews from, you're getting this national press. Is this a trap game? It's, I mean, that's something that you can definitely talk about. It could be a trap game because you look at the Jets and you're like, oh, man, they lost three straight. But I think as players – And I've said this, I think I said this yesterday, the Jets are a team that, even though they've lost three straight, these are games that they're in these games at the end of the game, you know?
They've held the lead in fourth quarter for a couple of those losses, and it got away from them. And this is also the kind of game when I was thinking about it, it's all about the mentality you take into it. Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You win the games during the week when you prepare.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, if you look at it, I'm going to laugh when I say this, but it's about the process. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them.
Right.
It has to do with us and what we're doing every day to get ready for this game. It don't matter what they're going through. It doesn't matter what happened to them or what us in this first game and all this and other. Let's play. Mm-hmm. Let's play our game. That's why you stay away from the mentality of going up and down and up and down with how you're supposed to play against this team and how this team's doing. And that's part of and that's really the main reason for – and I'm using finger quotes, the process.
You always want to just stay even keel.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. That's why coaches want to do.
Every game is big.
Right. Every game is big, and that's why coaches do the same things every week. You know, if we don't have Victory Monday, we're not going to have it this week. If we don't do this, if we do this, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't matter if we won or lost. We want to stay even keel.
All right. We're going to take a break. This is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Donald Jones along with Steve Tasker, John Murphy in New Jersey. We're going to come back right after this break. Chris Brown of the Buffalo Bills Insider is going to come on, and we'll talk to him as well. Bills versus the Jets tonight. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
And it's your update from One Bills Drive. Tonight, big game, Bills at Jets. The Bills are looking to go three straight wins. The Jets trying to get off a three straight loss, losing skid. The game is tonight down at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey tonight, 8:25 p.m. kickoff. Buffalo Bills safety Micah Hyde has been named AFC Defensive Player of the Month in the month of October. 4 interceptions, 6 pass defense, 22 tackles. That gets him AFC Defensive Player of the Month. Andrew Luck, the Colts quarterback, franchise quarterback, has been placed on IR. He had that surgery back in the preseason. They've been trying to see if he can come back, and now they have placed him on IR. The Sabres at Coyotes tonight, 10 p.m. The Sabres are on a two-game West Coast trip, and then they'll get back to the East Coast after that, trying to rebound from a loss this past weekend against the San Jose Sharks. The Astros, Houston Astros, win the World Series last night. They won the game 5-1. They won it in Game 7. Big win for the Houston Astros. Big win for the city of Houston. And that is your sports update, Steve.
Very nice. Thank you. We're here with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We are here, Donald Jones, Steve Tasker in Orchard Park. John Murphy is in New Jersey getting ready for the game tonight. They'll start the pregame in just a few hours. Mm-hmm. But until then, John Murphy's going to sit down with Bills insider Chris Brown. If you want to talk about a guy, and I know Chris really well, a guy who is eyeballs deep.
What? In
he
the Bills?
In the Bills. He gets access. He watches practice. He reads everything there is. He talks to the players. He's so embedded in the organization. And he writes stuff constantly. Mm-hmm. So Murph's going to talk to him. I want to ask, you know, Murph's going to ask him if Kelvin Benjamin's going to play. I want to find out. Yeah. If there's anybody outside the locker room who knows.
That would know.
That's the guy.
Yeah. That's the guy. That's we don't call. Know.
He ain't going to tell us.
Know.
He's not going to tell us. It's too much to ask for.
But this is going to be something where, you know, first of all.
Everybody wants to know, man. I'm dying.
I wouldn't be shocked if we see a stadium with a lot of Bills fans in it, number one. I think there's going to be a lot of Bills fans. And if Kelvin Benjamin walks out there on the field, you're going to get a lot of cheers.
There'll be some Bills fans there, but Jet fans will show up too. The primetime guys. Now, this is a down year for them, but they're already an overachieving bunch. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking at length about whether this is a trap game, whether this is going to be one of those games where it gets away from the Bills. Mm-hmm. It's one of those you look back on and say, man, we should have won that game. We could have gone to the playoffs.
Exactly.
You know, how many times? Well, 17.
You don't want to look back on this one and say that.
So we've been sitting here. We've taken one call all day. Let's take one more before we go to another quick break. This is Mike, and he's in Lackawanna, and he wants to know about the same thing we're asking about Kelvin Benjamin. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, good to talk to you guys. If Benjamin plays tonight and he finishes the season, it would give him 17 games. Does he get paid for that? And then I'll hang up and listen.
Well, he gets paid the number on his contract, whether he plays 20 or 17. Because you got to remember, too, it's not just – and you're right. It was brought up earlier, Rich Eisen, one of the interviews we did earlier. We had a lot of guys on. We had Rich Eisen on. Mm-hmm. We had Jim Nance on. We had Mark Kelso on. We're going to have Chris Brown on. But Rich Eisen brought up the fact that he hadn't had his bye week yet when he's playing for Carolina. And the Bills have already had theirs. So if Kelvin Benjamin comes in, suits up tonight, he's a 17-game season for him.
He's now, be trying to send something down to the league.
Right, I get it. But here's the thing. Everybody wants to go to the playoffs. That's an extra game. And then and they don't get a game check for that. It's just a set rate. Every guy makes the same amount of money. So
For playoffs?
Yeah, for the playoffs. Well, the winners get more and the losers get less. But everybody on the team gets the same thing unless they have incentives and that kind of thing.
Now, from what I understand,
but no 17th game check.
No, you don't get that. But if you are a guy, or if you're a team that gets a first round bye, you don't get paid for that first week of the playoffs.
You know what? That's a good point. I don't think you do. Well, you didn't used to.
That's
I know
crazy
that because I've done it both. And also, Kelvin Benjamin, the guys get paid in their bye week. They get 17 game checks anyway. So I just answered our own question. Yeah, he's going to get 17 game checks because everybody does. You get paid.
But
here's how it works, everybody. Say you're making this money. It's divided 17 ways, mm-hmm. and you get a check every Monday after the game. That's how it's paid. And then after the 18th game, after in February, you're done.
You're done.
You don't get paid.
You don't get paid
again. The money stops.
Unless you're a guy with some type of roster bonuses
the money
and
stops.
Things like that.
Yeah,
the money stops.
But that's how it works. They get 17 game checks. It's their whatever number they're getting. If it's $1.7 million, they get a $100,000 check every Monday.
Every Monday.
Minus taxes.
Minus taxes. And you got to pay taxes in each state that you play in.
Yeah, they started doing that. Listen, I'm so old. I was around when they started doing that, when they started making you pay in Pennsylvania and California. And
you're like, man, I don't want to pay any tax.
And if you play in Texas, Tennessee, and Florida, they don't have state tax.
Yeah.
So New York does you the favor of taking it out for New York State.
Now, I don't remember from when I was playing what happened when we were up in Canada, but you have all of these games out in London now and a game out in Mexico. How does that even work?
I don't. You're going to make my head explode.
Oh, my bad.
Listen, there are worse things than tax problems.
There are.
Yeah.
There are. Especially when you're making a lot of money. But
All right. We're gonna toss to Chris Brown and John Murphy. John Murphy has a chance to sit down with Bills insider Chris Brown, who, like I said, he's one of the most connected guys in the organization who actually works in the media. So we're gonna send it to New Jersey, to MetLife Stadium, actually the Bills headquarters hotel in Jersey City, New Jersey, with John Murphy and Chris Brown.
All right, thanks, fellas. We're at the Bills headquarters hotel in Jersey City, New Jersey, a couple of miles away from the Meadowlands. John Murphy with Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com on this game day. I don't like these night games, Chris. I don't like waiting around all day like
waiting
this.
Waiting all day for a football game.
Thursday night.
Take a walk and, pass the time, write a few extra advanced stories. I don't know what else you do besides that.
And, from the players' perspective and the coaches, they probably enjoy being on primetime players, I'm thinking, but there is this long day that you have to fill and just kind of mope around.
If there is one plus, they do let them sleep in a little bit. Wake-up calls today were at 10 a.m., so I just heard Lorenzo Alexander over at breakfast saying, I am coming off of two good nights of sleep in a row. He goes, this is glorious. So I know from that standpoint, especially on a short week, feeling at least well-rested is probably a good thing for these guys.
There was a time, I do want to talk about this game with you, Chris, but there was a time maybe a year ago when people complained about Thursday nights and we all sort of thought and repeated, well, it's not going away, it's not going away. Now I don't know. There was reports in the last week about oversaturation, maybe the reason for the decline in ratings. There was one number I saw where over the last 2 years, overall television ratings have declined 18% for NFL football. That is significant. That's a 50
right.
audience.
Yeah, I think you have to look at the enormous growth that the league has had over the last 30 years. At some point, there's got to be a leveling off, and we might be there.
Yeah.
This might be a little bit of a leveling off here, and you know, I know the owners to a certain degree are talking about what they can do to kind of put their product back on the ascent, but they may just have to reassess how they do business, and Thursday night football might be something that they'd be better off without, because I think by and large, the product gets watered down when players only have 3 days to have their bodies recover.
Yeah. All right, so they are going to play tonight, and it comes just 2 days after a really major day, trade deadline day, all over the NFL and for the Buffalo Bills. I don't think we've had a chance to talk with you about the Kelvin Benjamin acquisition. What did you think? Were you shocked?
I was surprised. I was of the opinion that the Bills would only be sellers if they could continue to stockpile draft choices. But it's clear to me, based on this move, that sitting at 5-2 near the midway point of the season and a completely wide open AFC with all the teams with 2, 3, 4, 5 losses, that they've said, hey, you know what? Why not take a run at this thing if the right opportunity presents itself? Naturally, it did. And, you know, Brandon Bean was a guy who learned about the front office way of doing things in the NFL from Marty Herney, who was the GM previously. Yeah. This is his second stint in Carolina. So I think there was a healthy give and take there between those two guys. Brandon Bean didn't feel like Herney was trying to sell him down the river or anything. And he knows the commodity that he acquired in Kelvin Benjamin, maybe better than any other one that might have been available out there on the market. And, you know, a third and a seventh, I think it's a fair price for a guy who's going to come in here and be your number one receiver. And as Brandon Bean said, not just for now, but for the future. So my belief is, yes, he's on the hook next year for the fifth-year option at $8.45 million. My belief is that's going to get renegotiated.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get extended out, and the cap hit's going to be less than that for 2018 and beyond, provided Kelvin does the right things here through the second half of the season.
You talked about the healthy give and take. It struck me, and he actually mentioned it, how quickly that deal came together. And maybe they, you know, with their relationship, they were able to kind of talk in shorthand and cut through any baloney that might exist between a normal couple of GMs talking. Like,
right.
I trust you, you trust
exactly.
me, we work together,
I
boom.
I didn't get the sense at all, based on how quickly it came together, that either guy was playing liar's poker with the
right.
other guy. They were just saying, hey, give it to me straight. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Where can we meet in the middle? And so, I mean, I think it's a good deal for a Carolina team that really had duplicity at that position. I mean, Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin are kind of the same player. So I think they felt an opportunity to move the guy that's more expensive that they were on the hook for $8.45. They can't renegotiate the fifth-year option. The Bills, since they inherited via trade, can renegotiate that fifth-year option and reduce that cap figure. So it's a more palatable player for the value that I think they'll eventually have him at come 2018 than it was for Carolina, who's looking to elevate Funchess into that role, you know, and kind of reshape their offense, work on their run game a little bit more. So it works for Carolina, but more importantly, it works for the Bills, who absolutely needed a number one target.
Talking with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, as the Bills get set to play the Jets, and we're talking about the Kelvin Benjamin deal. The part that you mentioned in a little bit, I wanted to get into this, about how quickly the Bills, and I'm talking about over the space of a week or so, it would seem, have adjusted their expectations. Brandon Bean didn't deny that or back away from that the
right.
other day. And you're right. You look around the AFC, you see where they sit, you see what lies ahead, how this team is playing right now. They probably figured, hey, why not us, basically, right?
Yeah, and I think they know that they have to keep progressing with this passing game. As well as Tyrod Taylor has played, and he's been very efficient. His completion percentage is up over the last two or three games. The yardage in terms of production just has not been there. You know, he had one game, you know, Tampa Bay game was a good game, but you look at his line last week, yes, he completed 70% of his passes. That's fantastic. Didn't make any mistakes, protected the football, but it's 165 yards passing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're only going to go so far with 165 yards passing a game. They needed another weapon in the passing attack. Kelvin Benjamin is that, and he's going to, I think, there's going to be a trickle-down effect from that too. Now, suddenly, Zay Jones, who's probably the third receiver now, yep. is looking at the third corner every week in terms of matchups and is probably going to win more of his matchups now, play to play, series to series. Jordan Matthews can settle into that slot role, not worry about being the number one. So I think Benjamin as the number one helps everybody else in that receiving core also.
Chris Brown joins us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. let's talk about Tyrod for a second. I think there's something good happening with Tyrod Taylor the last couple of games, Chris, and I also don't think it's reflected in the stats. And, I, you know, 165 yards passing, you're right, that is substandard in the NFL.
Right.
But the way he's playing, I mean, it's almost to the, observationally, when you watch the way he has played the last couple of weeks, the throws he's making, the quicker decisions he's making, the way he's used his feet the last couple of weeks, I think, even though I still maintain that he is at least at or near his ceiling, I think he has taken a little half step forward the last couple of weeks, and I'm eager to see where this winds up.
Right, and when you're helped by a defense that's giving you extra possessions,
right,
there's more opportunities to make things happen, but I agree with you 100%. I think his decision-making has been the best over these last two or three games than it's been at any other time in his tenure with the Bills, whether it's knowing when to run, take off, just get some extra yards, positive yards, staying positive down and distance, or whether here's my shot, I'm going to take it, and then he hits it and is, makes good on it, you know, buying extra time in the pocket and then still making a pass downfield. The Andre Holmes touchdown yeah. comes to mind last week. Those are all things that he's doing at peak efficiency right now, and that's made the difference in the scoring column for this team. But I'm going to tip my hat to Rick Dennison here. This is a guy that I think has helped convince Tyrod that he can be the guy in this offense. There are no doubts coming from the coaching staff. Yes, there were outside doubts the past 2 years from largely the media, the public at large, about who he was as a player. I don't know what Coach Dennison has done, but he has resolutely convinced Tyrod, you're the guy, we're going with you, let's move forward, let's become the most efficient offense we can, let's make you the most efficient quarterback you can be. And I think the prior relationship in Baltimore, albeit for only a year, is also helping here in terms of nurturing Tyrod into the quarterback we're seeing right now.
I'm going to tip my cap to Rick Dennison for this as well, the evolution of the run game and the dialogue and the really open dialogue that went on apparently during the bye week and those the couple of weeks during the bye to just make changes in the way they run the football. It has produced dramatic improvement in these last couple of games. The fact that, you know, they're open to change, they're open to listening what the players like. I mean, look, we're just coming off a two-year period where the defensive coaches were pretty stuck in their system and would not listen to players complain or give their ideas about what should go on. This is a big change from where they were the last couple of years on defense anyway.
I think when we saw the staff that Coach McDermott put together after he was hired, I think a lot of us felt this way, at least those of us who have been around this team for a long time, probably the best coaching staff assembled here. I went as far as back as the Levy years.
Right.
I know you were partial to Wade Phillips and his staff that he had here, but this is clearly the best staff through the course of the playoff drought that I've seen assembled, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
If you have coaches that know how to maximize the talent of the players they have at their disposal, Rick Dennison, Tyrod Taylor being prime example number one, defense, going back to the 4-3, you maximize who Jerry Hughes is as a player, Shaq Lawson as a player, Preston Brown as a player. It makes a difference on the field. You have good coaching, I'm convinced it can get you two more wins a season in this league.
All right, let's talk about Bills defense for a second and the incredible pace at which they're taking the ball away. Plus 14, leading the NFL. But the last five games, Chris, 15 takeaways in the last five games, three per game, and only three giveaways, only three turnovers in that,
right.
In that frame. In that time frame, the question to me is, how long can you count
yeah.
on that? You know what I mean?
I worry about it.
Won't it dry up at some point? The odds. You know, let me say, the odds.
Law of averages.
You, yeah, it will tell you that it will dry up. On the other hand, when I think about that fumble forced by Matt Milano on the sideline on the kick return last Sunday, that wasn't an accident. Milano was in there raking the ball out. They
right.
are trained and coached to go for the takeaways, and it's working. So maybe it won't dry up.
Well, maybe from a forced fumble standpoint, I think I would agree with you there. The other thing, too, is what makes the takeaway string here so amazing is it's not like the Bills have been way ahead in these games and the other team has been forced to throw right. the ball around the field where the risk gets increased for your opponent. It's been nip and tuck games here for the most part where the other team hasn't had to go exclusively to the pass, maybe with the exception of last week's game against Oakland, but they didn't feel like running the football anyway. My concern is this. Even if you go down to one takeaway in a game, if you're giving up 300 yards passing, which the Bills have in each of the last three games, Cincinnati, Oakland, and the Tampa Bay game, 300-yard passers each week, If those takeaways dry up and you're giving up 300 yards passing a game, I think it's going to be a lot harder to keep teams off the scoreboard. And now you've put more pressure on your offense, and I think that's when you can reach critical mass and it becomes much, much more difficult to win, especially when you consider the fact that after tonight, the Bills have, in succession, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers on the road, and Tom Brady.
Yeah. The Buffalo defense has a chance to get a couple of starters back tonight. Jordan Poyer, who missed a game, is questionable and had a week's worth of practice. And Ramon Humber, who's been out since the Falcons game, he got hurt October 1st, he's questionable as well. He could be back tonight. That would be a big boost to get those two.
Would be a big boost. I mean, I think Humber's been an underrated player in this defense when he was healthy. I mean, he was the leading tackler, and, you know, I thought he was pretty darn good in coverage, too. Mm-hmm. The thing that I want to see there that's going to be interesting for me is, are they going to try to work Milano into pass coverage sub-packages here and there? Because I think he is so accomplished as a coverage player at the second level. I wonder if they're going to find some package roles for him when the other team is in obvious passing situations. Not to say that Humber isn't a good coverage player in his own right, but Milano is really, really good at that, and it's probably a byproduct of him being a former safety in college, early in his college career, that makes him so good at that. But I'm interested to see that. The other thing that I want to keep an eye on through the course of the game is I do think Poyer is going to start this game. I think he's going to play. But if the play count gets up, you know, in the 60 to 70 range and there's some long drives that the Jets have some by some way, shape, or fashion, I'm wondering if, you know, the time on that leg is going to start to wear him down as the game wears on. It'll be interesting to see if Trey Elson comes in to spell him for a series or two, maybe late in the game, hopefully when the Bills have the game in hand.
What is the biggest threat the Jets offense poses tonight?
I think it's McCown and getting the ball out quick. He's just been really good at finding targets. One player who did not play in that first game on the offensive side of the ball is Austin Seferian Jenkins. This is a guy who now leads the team in receiving. He was out on suspension the first three games of the year. He's only played five games with this club. He's the leading receiver in catches, I think receiving yards, and he's right up there in terms of receiving touchdowns. He's got one less than Jermaine Kearse, who leads the team with four touchdown catches. He's got three. McCown and Seferian Jenkins clearly have a connection. He's a giant target at 6'5", 262, and you got Poyer coming off an injury who's probably drawing him as a coverage assignment. So I think that's the biggest threat right now. It might sound silly, like who is Seferian Jenkins, but I think he's enough of a threat where they really have to be mindful of him. And then Robbie Anderson has come on these last couple of weeks. He had a 100-yard receiving day last week. I think he's really kind of settling into one of those major roles opposite Jermaine Kearse.
We know what the Jets are defensively. We know their strength lies up front, but on the back end tonight, they're a little bit banged up, and they haven't been that good all year anyway. That's an interesting situation for the Bills, who might be able to attack their secondary tonight.
Right, and so I think that's why everybody's wondering, is Benjamin going to play? Is Benjamin
going to play? I didn't ask you that question.
No, but I mean, I'd be surprised if he does. But all that being said, Claiborne is questionable tonight, the starting corner on one side, and you know, whether he plays or he doesn't, he's got a foot injury. He's not going to be 100% if he's out there. Buster Skrine just came back from a concussion. Maybe he's a little rusty, and he's been victimized more than his fair share by a lot of receivers in this league. I don't think he's a great corner. He probably wouldn't be a starting corner if I was coaching a team and needed somebody out there, unless I'm down to my last guy. But I think, there are matchups to take advantage of there, no question. And I think once you get down to the third and fourth corner, you could really have some advantage there. I mean, you think about putting Deontay Thompson on the field against their third, fourth, maybe fifth corner. I like that matchup a lot. I like him getting separation and making some plays for them.
Bills coach Sean McDermott has not been perfect, but he has pretty much answered every question, passed every test through the first half of the season. Tonight, some would think the test would be, well, how do they handle the primetime spotlight and coming off two big wins, and will they have a letdown? I mean, I've even heard people say, is this a trap game? I don't know if the Bills are good enough to have a trap game yet, quite frankly. But I would be surprised if McDermott's team is not ready to play and focused on this game.
Right. And as much as you want to will yourself to be ready to play, sometimes the body doesn't always cooperate, especially on these Thursday night games. So I think that maybe is the biggest test for them. Can they physically handle the short week and travel and play a competitive division game and get a victory? I think holding the Jets offense down early and getting some points on the board early, which has been a problem, only 6 points scored in the first quarter this year, will be the key to tonight's game.
Chris, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. You can follow him throughout the game tonight. And, of course, we'll have all kinds of recaps at BuffaloBills.com after the game. We're coming to you from the Bills Headquarters Hotel in Jersey City, New Jersey. Let's send it back to the studio.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones back here in Orchard Park. John Murphy's been busy today. He spoke to Jim Nantz, the lead play-by-play guy for CBS and the NFL Network tonight for the game. He spoke to his broadcast partner, our friend Mark Kelso, former teammate of mine. Also, as you just heard, Chris Brown, John Murphy putting in a full day. Yeah. You got to fill the time sometime for those night games, right?
Yeah, because night games, I mean, you're sitting in a hotel, especially if you're on a road. Yeah. You're sitting in the hotel with just – nothing to do, and the coaches might have meetings and different things like that. But
yeah, listen, we're going to get into our primetime stories. Both of us have been played on these primetime games. We're going to tell a little bit of those about those in the next segment. This is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive and Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Steve Tasker, along with Donald Jones. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. We are the John Murphy Show. John Murphy in New Jersey tonight for the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. I'm Steve Tasker along with my good buddy Donald Jones. This is John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. Donald, we broke last time. We just got out of a nice interview with Chris Brown, Bills at Buffalo Bills Insider, and everybody has that same question about Kelvin Benjamin. And, you know, we've talked for a couple hours now about this game and how exciting it is and whether he's going to play it. You know, Chris Brown evidently doesn't think it'll happen, that he won't be on the field for the Bills. My take on that is, if you were playing against the Bills, do you want Kelvin Benjamin playing or not? And I think no way put him on the field. We don't want any part of that.
Right.
So that's why I play him.
That's why I say you play him.
All right. So now we both of us, I agree with you. So we'll see how it plays out. Now the pregame starts at 6 p.m. tonight here on WGR. Also, Donald, you've played in some primetime games Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and so have I. You've got some anecdotes about playing in under the lights.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me your stories and, like, give me some background about some of the stuff happened to you.
I remember we played a game here against the Jets. So it was a Thursday night game, and it wasn't because we were home, I got a chance to go home, but we had to be back at the stadium for meetings, you know, and it's really just – it takes forever, you know, because it's like you're waiting all – because
game day.
Game day.
Meetings.
Meetings take –
Who's
meetings,
the coach?
Chan.
Okay.
So we had like a full like offense, team meeting, special teams meeting. And it was like, come on, man. Like I'm ready. I'm done
on
with meetings. I'm ready to just get out there on the field. The coach is like, you need to walk around, take a walk around the hotel. And when you're on the road, they're like, we want you to walk around, get up, walk. Don't just lay in the bed all day, because you find yourself just – laying around in bed, you know, either that or you're out somewhere trying to do something, which you shouldn't be. You know, you should be just watching film and things like that. And if you're watching film in the hotel, you're probably laying in the bed watching film. But you really need to get up and get out. I was never a guy to take the first bus to the stadium. Like on Sundays, 1 o'clock game, I was always on the second bus. One time I found myself on the third bus, which is the media bus. And everybody's like, What are you doing on this bus? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing on this bus.
Listen,
I overslept. You know,
you try
but that was 1 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
You try everything.
On the night games, I found myself on the first bus. Like, I just want to get to the stadium.
Just
you know,
get me out of this hotel.
Yeah, and then you get to the stadium, and you're there so early on the first bus that now you're just anxious and everything in the stadium, laying around the locker room. It is a long. Long wait.
It's horrible because it's out of the routine that you set for yourself. Your body clock, everything's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
They do research on this. Believe me, nobody goes into this blind. The coaching staffs, the support crew, the training staff, the strength and conditioning guys do research about when you should go in, when you should come out, and I was talking to the instigators earlier today about, you know, how when you go out of time zones and, you know, what the philosophy is. Some teams go early, get acclimated to the time zone, so they play their game at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Other teams go as late as possible, and that's kind of the new thing now. You go as late as possible, just play the game, and then get out,
right.
And then you deal with the hangover and the jet lag when you get home after the game,
exactly.
Which is commonplace now, and they've found that that's the best way to do it. My primetime story is a Jet game in New York in the old Meadowlands, because new stadium is
– Yeah. I remember John's
Okay, stadium. So I've been retired 20 years, but back in the Meadowlands, and it was an October 31st Monday night football game in the Meadowlands against the New York Jets. And I don't know, I can't remember the year, whether it was 1988 or 1990, 91, 92, it was something like that. We were good, and we were lumping them up good. But it was Halloween, so there was a little something in the air, and the fans and stuff. It was Painter's Cap Day, where they gave every fan a white little cloth cap, you know, they used to. So we're lumping up the Jets pretty good. And in the third period, fourth quarter, up on the third deck, somebody had gathered, because all the fans were throwing those hats after we beat the Jets. Then they made a pile of those caps up in the third level of Meadowlands and lit it on fire. And there's a big, there's a fire going on in the deck three right out in the seats. You know, they were empty. Nobody was there anymore.
You just see
just
a fire.
Lit it on fire and left. And just left. So that happened. Then earlier in the game, there was they had this big blow-up pumpkin, jack-o'-lantern, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a big light, you know, like a beach ball, but it was big. It was like 3 or 4 feet around. And they were batting it around the stands, and it came down onto the field and stuff. And a cop takes it, walks it into this tunnel, you know. The place went crazy. They started booing big time. I mean, it was the biggest noise of the night. The cop went in, got it, came out and batted it back into the stands, and they batted it again. Yeah. And they kept playing with it. It was one of those nights, and the game was over early. And it was one of those times back in the day before they had replay the way it is now. They had replay for a while back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then they got rid of it until the technology caught up. And we have what we have today, which is, well, it's better.
Yeah.
So we're in the middle of a 7-minute delay in the game.
For the replay.
And for the replay, where the guy caught a kickoff and his foot was on the line, on the out-of-bounds line.
No, they couldn't see that?
They had to go back and check, and it took forever to find that out. And it was going to be, like, meaningless, right? I mean, who cares? It was like a 7-yard return in the fourth quarter. So we're standing there on the field, and it's the players in the corner of that end zone, right down where it was, all the special teams guys, kick covers, kick return guys for the Jets.
Yeah.
And we're standing there, and right in front row of the corner of the Meadowlands, there's groups of guys, four guys. There's four here, and the two guys sitting next to each other start bickering and start fighting. All of a sudden, a melee breaks out, and I mean, it's a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, no other way to describe it. There, you know, it's a death match, right?
Yeah.
And it starts to spread, and there's like all of a sudden, there's not just those eight guys. There's 6 or 8 or 10 more guys, and they're piling on. Security's having coffee. They're somewhere else.
Yeah.
And this thing goes on, and the delay's going, and all the fan, for the first time, Mike, it's the only time in my career where the players on the field were watching the fans.
Yeah.
Like the game all of a sudden turned on, and it was the fans that were the interesting thing. So we're standing there watching, and it, you know how it is when you get into a fight. We've both been in fights. You're done after about 30 seconds.
Right.
The adrenaline kicks in. You're good, and then all of a sudden it just sucks out of you, and you're so they all got tired.
Mm-hmm.
Security never came. Never.
Mm-hmm.
They never showed up. And all of a sudden everybody's got tired and sat back down and started drinking again. I could not believe it.
I remember a college night game, and this sticks out in my mind because the dude ran literally right past me. You know how fans run out and then take off and run across the field? This dude, I don't even know how he got his clothes off. Like, just total naked. Naked,
barefoot.
Naked.
Naked.
Yes, bare.
Oh, man. See, that,
naked.
That's
and
the extra the extra step there.
And barefoot. This Joker took off and ran right past me. And we're running out of the huddle. And then I'm like, oh, like I almost bumped into him, which would have been gross. but he runs past me. And then all you see is security just coming out of everywhere trying to get him. And he actually was dodging him. I'm like, man, we need this dude. I remember saying to one of my teammates, we need him on our team. Like,
we need some help.
Yeah, this dude is dodging everybody. But night games, what was it like for Super Bowl?
Oh, my gosh, it was torture.
Yeah.
6:20 kickoff. 6:20.
Yeah.
What are they doing? 6:20 kickoff for Super Bowl. So they can get it right in that window. They, you know, wind
that
up.
That prime time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Put nails under my fingernail, you know. I mean, just it was so horrible. And, you know,
it's
like in the middle of the afternoon. You can't even take a good nap. You know, you got to get up, and you couldn't sleep the night before. 6:20.
Yeah.
So then you had to, and then it was a math problem. Like, all right, usually I'm there like an hour. What 6:20? What, you know? It's usually 1 o'clock, and you can go back 2 hours from that. Well, 6:20 is at 4:20. So I got to leave. How far is it to the stadium, and which bus do I want to go on?
Exactly.
And we got that security thing. We got to go through the. Oh my gosh.
I can only imagine because
it was
for
torture.
Any game. Number one, you can't sleep the night before. I could never sleep the night before.
Yeah,
but and your emotions are so high on game day.
Right.
For a Super Bowl, it's like times whatever 1,000, because you're like, this is the Super Bowl and there's so much going on around you. And I mean, you played when there was like 1 week for just one Super Bowl week. Now it's 2 weeks, right?
One week and 2 weeks.
Right. You know. So now for 2 weeks, you have this whole build up towards the game, and then you get to the game. And you're there. Well, you get to game day, and it's like, oh, like there's just, we've been practicing now for 2 weeks with no game to play, ready to play a game, and now we got to wait all day. We probably have some other meeting, and then, like you said, some security thing we got to go through and all of this stuff. And then they got the national anthem. Everything is, yeah, the metal detectors. The national anthem is ridiculously long. Everything, halftime is ridiculous. I mean, just that day is ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh, it takes forever. It takes forever. And then not only that, you know, the pregame, the halftime, for a Super Bowl, the pregame is extended, the halftime's extended, the timeouts are extended.
Yeah.
It's like the game is an afterthought. It is an absolute afterthought. This is not about football anymore.
Right.
It stops being about football on Friday before the game. Mm. And you just, it is so frustrating for the players, you know, to go through that. But this regular night game, Thursday night, I don't know that something strange, but always, always it's special for the players because everybody you ever knew is going to be watching.
Right, especially if you play for a team like the Bills that they don't get primetime games like that. You know, This is their only primetime game this year for right now unless they get flexed.
Yeah, they could get flexed.
They could get flexed. But as of right now, this is their only primetime game. So now you're playing, and that was for me. It was like, wow, like, all right, everybody's going to be watching this game. I know a bunch of people who were Dolphins fans. We played the Dolphins here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were sending me messages, you know, I love you, but you suck, type of stuff like that. And so you're just sitting in the hotel reading messages, like, whatever.
All right. let's take a call. Jay in Buffalo wants to get on, talk with us. We'll take a call. He wants to know the timetable on Charles Clay. Jay, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Go ahead, man. You're wondering about Charles Clay, are you?
Yeah, I wanted to know what was the return on Charles Clay. Because then we got Calvin Benjamin, Charles Clay, Zay Jones. We got all of them on the offense.
Yeah.
Like, what's the return for that?
What do you mean the return? You mean what the timetable for him to get back in the lineup?
Yeah.
They're thinking maybe New Orleans next week, which would be a huge bonus for this team, I think.
Right.
Charles Clay would really help them. And there's no question that Logan Thomas – and Nick O'Leary have done a great job. I mean, this is a team they've won four out of their last five. So they did miss Charles Clay, no question about it. He left in the Cincinnati game, a game they lost. But they've been winning since then. And, you know, Clay is, as some of the viewers on MSG can see now, they're showing the highlights. He's the big play guy. I mean, he's been able to stretch the field, which is strange for a tight end in that position. But you're right. I think when he gets back, team that I think is going to get significantly better offensively.
I think it is. You know, I think he truly is Tyrod's security blanket. But he is a big play weapon down the field, and he was showing that before he went down. Now you add in another wrinkle in this offense, which is Kelvin Benjamin, another guy who can, you know, get down, if not the fastest, but he is a deep type of threat for this team. You have both of those guys back with a Jordan Matthews, with a Zay Jones, you know, it really takes the pressure off of everybody because it's like, who you want to cover, you know? And to be honest with you, the Bills haven't had that. They've always had, look, we know they want to run the ball. We're going to stack the box. You don't have a receiver outside that can beat us. Well, now they have multiple weapons in the passing game. And so who do you want to cover? If everybody can stay healthy, pick your poison.
Listen, if everybody stays healthy, things are going to change greatly. In fact, our next caller, Matt, is going to have a question about that. Matt, you've got something about, you think if the Bills get Charles Clay healthy like we've been talking about, you're thinking that the Buffalo Bills might get flexed into a Sunday night, Monday night game.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to possibly take our home game against the Patriots and change it into a primetime game. And if they do, what are the options?
Well, that's interesting because we had Jim Nantz on the show earlier today, and he mentioned the fact that that game would probably be the number one game at CBS, which means probably that they're not going to flex that out of there. If CBS had some games they can protect, and I think they can protect five, I think. And so you see those games there. If for our viewers, it's Kansas City, it's the Bills at the Chiefs, the Bills at home against New England, the Bills at home against Indianapolis, against the Miami Dolphins. Then they go to New England and to the Dolphins. Yeah, those games may be on the roster. Depends on how many games CBS has. But you can bet that CBS will do whatever they can to
not let that one get flexed.
To keep that.
It's I've kind of looked at the schedule, and I know we got to get to a break. I've kind of looked at the schedule to see what games are already the primetime games, and there's some good ones already.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to flex them out. You know, they might move them to maybe a 4 o'clock slot, but I don't know all the way to this.
They're not going
to
get flexed if they lose a game to the Jets tonight
no,
on Thursday
they won't.
Night. They won't get. That's not going to help their cause.
Not at all.
All right. Donald Jones, Steve Tasker on the John Murphy Show. John Murphy on location in Jersey City. He's getting ready for the Bills-Jets game tonight. This is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. This is Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. We are in Orchard Park. John Murphy on assignment viewing the Buffalo Bills New York Jet Thursday night football game tonight in MetLife Stadium. We've been holding down the fort all day. John Murphy touched base with us. He had an interview with Jim Nance, Mark Kelso. He had Chris Brown on the program. We actually spoke to Rich Eisen here as well. So we had a lot going on in the game, on the show today. As we wind it up for Thursday night football, any final thoughts about what you think this
I think they need to run the ball. Yeah. I think Kelvin Benjamin should play.
I know. I want to see him play.
I like your idea of throwing it to him on the first play of the game. Send a message nationwide. This is, you know, this is what we're doing now. So you can stack the box if you want to.
Yeah.
But we have players that can get down the field and catch the ball. We have players we can just throw it up to. So send a message. I think ultimately the Bills – we talk about, is this a trap game? I think Coach McDermott has probably done a good job of making sure his players have not fallen into that trap.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you as well. I think that's part of the process that he talks about so mm-hmm. much. It's not letting games like this get away from him.
Right.
And this is what we've noticed. This is why I think so many Bills fans are so excited about this team. They don't seem to do things like that. They don't seem to let down. They don't seem to let game. They don't seem to not be able to handle whatever success they've had so far, and they seem to build on the next mm-hmm. thing and the next thing and the next thing. So there's no reason to think that this is going to be a team that all of a sudden stands up and looks around rather than keeping their nose on the grindstone.
Right. I think I have to agree with you there. These guys, look, they understand they have this game, and it's a short week. The Jets are playing on a short week too, and so
right.
it's really nothing to complain about. It's a short week. Go out there, get through this game. And then you have some extra time until next week, you know. And so, guys, we're on the road. This is a divisional opponent. That game is always heightened, your emotions, all of that stuff. So it's not like the Jets are already still playing hard games, even though they're losing. You know the deal. It's time to get out here and get to work.
Well, that's going to put a bow on this this edition of the John Murphy Show. I'm Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. We've been with you all day. This has been John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. I'd like to thank J.J., George, Jeff, Tom, and of course Jay Harris, our producer, back in the back. Also Olivia and Shelby were helping us out as well. This is Steve Tasker along with Donald Jones. Stay tuned tonight, 6 p.m. The Buffalo Bills pregame show will be on. It'll be on all across the country on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, everybody.